If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm MC Hammer. It's hot, it's summertime, but you can escape the heat by going to the house of God and letting the Lord just breathe on you. Some of that cool air, the breath of God.
What?
You can escape the heat too. Right now, get out the heat. Use the hot sun to be your excuse.
What?
Where I'm going, I'm on my way to church. Get out this heat, man. Call somebody, tell them to grab their Bible. Hammer, deal him with it.
Excuse me, what are you talking about?
Gay.
Don't believe anything they say. Allegedly, it's not true.
Once again, I am amazed at the level of blithering idiocy that issues from your pie hole.
No, that's it.
This is so exciting. I wish I cared.
Two cheers for Lisa. Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Now, deep breath and quiet.
Can Ronnie Millsap sing it or what? Misery loves company, and ain't that the truth?
And now,
my goodness, was that a mouthful?
Our feature presentation.
Yes, it
oh,
was.
Oh, those were the days.
It's amazing to do country radio. Good
I
times.
I had a good time doing that, let me tell you.
We all had to work at jobs we didn't like before we got here, unfortunately.
Yeah, you really had to clean it up for country, I got to tell you.
Do you? Did you not like that job, Lisa?
I actually did. It was fun.
Yeah. One of my first jobs was oldies, and I hated oldies, hated with all my heart, and I had to play nothing but oldies.
I think I would dislike oldies more than country, actually.
No.
For me.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
It's Wednesday morning. Good morning, everybody. It's the 18th of Aprilingus.
I guess not everybody was hanging out with Hayden Panettiere last night from TV's Heroes like I was.
What do you mean, hanging out?
He wasn't hanging out with her.
Guess not. Everybody was having a conversation with the lovely cheerleader from Heroes who was telling me how attractive I was. I guess that didn't happen to everybody, just me.
Well, I believed you right up till attractive.
I think Psycho Mike's the one that went to the Heroes thing.
Yeah.
Anything
where anyone meets anybody is not you.
I thought that was me. That was you, Psycho Mike?
Yes.
Oh, now I'm so disappointed. I'm getting a little bit of a chubby off of that story.
Oh,
it wasn't me.
It's not really a burn unless you do it. I mean,
well, how did it go? Did I have a good time?
You had a great time. You were a tremendous asset to the station, getting a lot of good audio.
Heroes, and you wouldn't know this from watching NBC because they're loath to promote it. Heroes is coming back on Monday, and they don't ever mention that on the network, so you might miss it. But yeah, it's coming back this Monday night after an extended absence. And I guess Psycho Mike, last night you had a chance to talk to quite a few of the cast members. We'll be hearing those interviews on Monday.
Yes, you will. I mean, everybody was very cool. That definitely is a show that's a lot of fun to work on because the cast and crew were really cool people.
Fantastic. Well, that sounds good. Yeah, those of you that don't watch NBC, they do put 11 days until Heroes comes back.
Oh.
10 days, 9 days, on every single TV show.
Yeah.
All day, every day.
Well, that can't be obnoxious.
No.
It's almost like an hour-by-hour countdown to Heroes, is what it is.
I put on my best duds yesterday to do the red carpet. I was looking suave, and I don't know who was more into me.
Hold you?
Hold on. Allie Larder, Hayden Panettiere. Or George Takei.
Well, I'm guessing George.
All of them made a pretty big fuss.
I think we know the answer to that one. And we also know who you went home with.
Well,
yeah, that's for damn sure.
What's the word on that one?
So Mike does love Mike, and that must be why he enjoys events like
Shut
this,
up.
Because then he finds out that other people like Mike.
You do, man. No, I don't know anyone else that talks about how good-looking they are and how good they look, how dressed well. I look great. No one talks like that.
Well, he does dress great.
That doesn't
None
happen,
None of you
though,
do
by
that.
The way. Like, I never...
Except for in the last 5 minutes where you said it three times?
Kevin especially creates this idea of me walking around talking about exercise and myself all the time. I never mention either of the two unless someone else comes up to me and brings it up.
Lisa, a little back up here.
I'm on the fence about this one. Now, it is weird that you can walk by in a pair of jeans, any pair of jeans, and Mike will tell you what the brand is.
Well, that's true. That's
odd.
That's a different topic.
He is into clothes.
I'm not denying that, but I don't know why you think I'm such a narcissist. I never...
So, Mike, let me make sure I understand what you're saying here. Something else that you like about you is that you're not a narcissist?
No, I didn't say that. I said, I don't know why.
If we're naming things that are good about you, the fact that you don't talk about yourself that way.
Create that.
Okay. Bean, am I trying to create that, or does he spend a lot of time talking about him?
I think Mike is very aware of how lucky he got with the genetic lottery and doesn't mind it being brought up. That's what I'll say.
That's very nice. That's very nice of you, Bean. Very kind. Not the normal Bean
political
comment.
Answer.
Yeah. Let's talk about last night's American Idol. Now, I don't watch that show.
I don't either.
But I watched Jimmy Kimmel, and this is Simon. So I don't know. I guess it was Country Night, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow, what a nightmare. I can't do regular karaoke unless I have alcohol, let alone country. But this is Simon talking to Sanjaya.
Utterly horrendous.
I'm being serious. I'm being serious. Honestly, it was. It was as bad as anything we see at the beginning of American Idol.
Very nice. Very nice.
Sanjaya and doing country is a scary thought.
They're starting to get angry now, and I love that.
I do watch the show, and it's the best show on television, but I will tell you that the joke's over now. I mean, it was funny that he got into the top 10. It's not funny anymore because he's so awful that it's just an embarrassment. It's just a waste of time and space now.
And the more angry people get, the more I like it.
I know,
that's
and they
awesome.
Do.
People's heads are spinning. They can't take it now.
Yep, and I wish – I mean, I would kind of be more into it if Sanjaya thought it was funny, but he just seems like a dick. He acts like he deserves it. He acts like the fact that he's still there is some sort of vindication for his talent, and he's horrible. I mean, his performance was so much worse than any of the other performances on the show last night. It's not even funny. I can't imagine he won't be in the bottom, at least the bottom two tonight. I can't imagine he won't.
But you think that every week, and everyone else does, and he, for some reason, the last, what, 2-3 weeks, he hasn't even been in the bottom three.
Has he ever been in the bottom two?
I think he may have been quite a while ago, but I mean, he had gotten a little bit better. Like last week, he was a little better. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I mean, there were people who were really bad last week. This week, he was the only one who was horrible. So there's no. It's funny.
I saw the
vote for the worst.com guy on the David Letterman show last night, and he says he's getting over 10 million hits a week on the website. So if that translates
Fantastic.
Into a few votes, it could make a difference because a lot of times there's not much difference between the vote counts for some of those contestants, you know?
Fantastic.
Wow.
So anyway, it's top seven now at this point, you know?
The higher he gets, the more angry the real hardcore fans get, and I love that. Especially Simon, whose head is about to explode. He's going to attack him next week if he doesn't get thrown off.
He's furious. He really is. He's going to come out of his seat. He's just going to wrestle the dude to the ground. I think you're right about that.
That would be awesome. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
We need to continue with our new game show, Who's Hiding Anal Lube? We found some Astroglide. We're not sure if they use it in the front or the back, but you know what it's used for
sure.
God's sakes. And we're trying to track it down. We can't figure out why somebody would leave it hidden behind the front desk in the lobby of this radio station. How
quick access.
Yes, I mean, how desperate a situation is it? You can't go out to your car. You have a locker or something. You can't go back there. You have to have it right at that moment.
I think Lisa's right. Her theory yesterday that it's probably not going to end up being a woman because a woman would have a purse.
Sure.
That's right.
It's a guy.
So are we looking for a guy who's hiding
yes.
Astroglide? Is that what
yes.
we're looking for? Do we have to look any further than
anal lube?
Yes. Look any further than our newsroom?
Backdoor love.
Oh, wow.
Wouldn't he hide it in the newsroom?
Wow. That hurt. That's painful.
I don't know. I guess
not
we'll
with Astroglide.
I don't really ever want to.
1 in 3 gay males may have genital anal warts.
Oh, maybe it eases the symptoms.
Open wide for Chunky.
All right. Also on today's show, we have Petros Papadakis talking about the Clippers.
Excellent.
Now, the Clippers beat the Suns last night.
Remarkably.
That was unexpected.
The number one team, but the Suns have nothing to gain by winning, so they're not even playing. But the Clippers did beat
them.
Did
they rest some of their starters last night?
No, they didn't rest them. They played them, but they kind of played, half-assed. But the Clippers did play well, and they ended up beating them.
Wow.
But Golden State also won, right?
Yep, the Clippers still a half game behind Golden State.
So they have one game left tonight.
Yeah. So
that's their season.
I'm pretty sure they need to win, and they need Golden State to lose a game.
Okay, so if both win, Clippers don't make the playoffs. Okay, all right. Lakers still holding on very firmly to place number 7.
And Petros, you're a huge, diehard, longtime Clippers fan.
You have
got to be on the edge of your seat.
This is riveting right down to the wire, and this is indicative of the Clippers, who are the team of the people.
Can I hear you say one time for me, please? Suffering succotash.
Now you're just patronizing me. But the people do it anyway. Suffering succotash. 5:70 a.m.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, Golden State beat Dallas last night.
right?
Golden State I don't know who they played. They won last night.
I think they beat Dallas. It's crazy because you get to the end of the season and these teams that have it locked.
Golden State beat Dallas.
I think they rested some players. They didn't play everybody. But, it's down to the final game. And that's tight.
Wow.
So we're going to talk to Petros on the show today. We got Monique on the program. She's the host of Flavor of Love Girls Charm School. And that show rules the planet. It really does. That's maybe the best show that has ever been. So we're going to talk to her today. We're going to tell you about the new there's a Mexican billionaire who has moved into second place. You know, the second richest guy alive.
No kidding.
Yes.
Wow.
So we're going to talk about that today.
He's worth about $50 billion, Lisa.
Oh, my God.
Just $50
billion. That is unbelievable.
Yeah. Craig Ferguson, the host of The Late Late Show. That's coming up just after 6 o'clock. We have things you were afraid of as a kid we're going to talk about today. I don't know if you remember we had Brandon Boyd in, but he was talking about what he was afraid of as a kid. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Everybody had really bizarre fears when you're a kid. You're growing up, you don't know, understand life.
Yeah.
And also on today's show, we have Coachella 3-day passes. We're going to do that in the 7 o'clock hour. You know, you're listening for blocks of three songs during the rest of the day, not the Kevin and Bean show because we don't play three in a row. But three in a row from Red Hot Chili Peppers or three in a row from Rage. But in the 7 o'clock hour, we have a game for you to win the tickets to. 3-day passes.
Great.
A week from Friday. Unbelievable. It's just a little over a week away. I'm so excited about that. Ralph Garman is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania today. And we're going to talk to him, and he's going to give us the Showbiz Beat.
Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, how's the hometown? You're in Philadelphia this morning.
I am here looking over the wreckage that was left behind by the nor'easter.
Oh, no.
I'll tell you, they really hit it hard in this town. Not as bad as New York and Jersey in some parts, but still. Dude, river's overflowing, and it's a mess.
It's down to like 70 here. You know?
As I was walking to work today in about 40 degrees with the wind whipping through the streets, I was like, Southern California.
Not so bad.
Not so bad.
It was an amazing storm. I mean, for folks who didn't hear about it, they got over 7 inches of rain in Central Park, New York, on Sunday, which is, you know, an all-time record. I mean, picture 7 inches. That's more than Los Angeles gets, in a couple of years?
Yeah, pretty much.
But I had a hearty breakfast this morning with my eggs and Scrapple, and I feel good to go.
What the hell's Scrapple?
I don't know Scrapple.
Scrapple is a gourmet treat that is unique to Philadelphia.
Doesn't sound gourmet.
It's a breakfast meat. It's a breakfast meat that is made up of, you know, when they take a pig and they take it to the slaughterhouse and they get the pork chops and the bacon and the hot dogs and everything else.
They take all the good stuff out first.
Whatever's left over, the scraps, is chopped up really fine and pressed into a brick.
That sounds worse That sounds worse than a hot dog.
And then you cut off a slice of the brick and you fry up your Scrapple, and that's what you have for breakfast.
No, you
eggs.
Don't.
That's so good eating right there.
It's like hooves and tail and nose, basically, is what you're eating.
Lips, tongue, whatever you got.
Wow.
Whatever you got. The scraps. It's Scrapple.
That sounds good.
Well, they don't waste the pig, that's for sure. It's 5:52 Wednesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Paris Hilton was ordered Tuesday to appear in court on May 4th for allegedly violating her probation in a reckless driving case by driving with a suspended driver's license.
So it was suspended.
Yes.
She really, I'm not sure she knew.
You could go to jail, right?
Oh,
she could.
Yeah, she knew.
She's one of those people,
she's
sure, just feels completely entitled and just says, well, whatever, I don't have to play by the rules.
Right.
Yeah, she got pulled over for an alcohol-related reckless, a wet reckless, as they call it in the business, in January. And then she was pulled over again driving with a suspended license when she was racing down Sunset Boulevard with no headlights on at night, which is strong.
Excellent.
So, if she's convicted, she could be sentenced to up to 90 days in jail. Oh, dear Jesus, make it so.
Yes.
I want Paris Hilton in the showers at Sybil Brand and someone with a plunger. That's all I care about. That's all I want out of life.
Well, you also want a reality TV show based around that.
Yes, and I want a pay-per-view, and I want it night vision, just like her video. I want to live large. Speaking of reality television, you guys watch that Hulk Knows Best or whatever that goddamn show is over there.
No.
It's about Hulk Hogan, the wrestler, and his daughter Brooke and her burgeoning music career
and his wife Linda.
Right.
Yes.
And every time I watch it, it's like, wow, these two just don't seem to get along at all. Well, apparently the New York Post page 6 says that they may be falling victim to the latest curse of reality show relationships and may be getting a divorce, Hulkster and his wife Linda.
And they've been married a long time, right?
Long time, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't take these pythons anymore.
She's like an animal freak who brought like a monkey to live in their house, and everything was pooping everywhere, and Hulk was very upset. So,
well, that's good times.
Yeah, I think they're having a little difficulty. Britney Spears probably should be hanging out with Anthony Kiedis anytime soon.
What happened?
Red Hot Chili Pepper frontman says that he thinks rehab is a waste of time.
So does she.
Apparently so. Despite the fact that he's cleaned up and he's a reformed heroin addict, he says that rehab is a waste of time and it's full of quacks. In his quote, is quacks who are trigger happy on diagnosing patients.
He seems like a tool.
If you want to get clean, Anthony says, if you want to get well, you'll find a way. Yeah, just go out there and just find.
Oh, so he just kicked it on his own?
I have no idea how he did it, but he doesn't think. He doesn't think rehab is good for anybody.
Okay. That's for quitters, as they say, right?
That's what it is. Speaking of which, Lindsay Lohan's back to her partying ways, according to In Touch magazine.
Yes.
She was recently at a Japanese restaurant, and she wanted to order some sake with her meal, which, of course, is Japanese rice wine. And if you're an alcoholic, I'd say stay away from the sake.
It's not good for you if you're an alcoholic?
Well, it's not on the recommended list.
Okay.
Waitress asked for ID, and, of course, Lindsay is only 20.
Sweet.
So she got denied. So then apparently, according to witnesses, Lindsay then had a friend order it, and she was drinking out of her friend's cup.
Excellent. There's always a way, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Just awkward. Like Anthony Kiedis said, you'll find a way. In Touch magazine has a list of the top 10 Hollywood sneakiest affairs in this week's issue.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is good stuff. Number 10 was Anne Heche cheating on her husband when she was doing that show with her co-star James Tupper, that Men in Trees show she was working on.
Right.
That was pretty strong. Number 9 was playing around behind Paris Hilton's back when she was filming The First Simple Life. Nick Carter was.
Okay.
8, Matt LeBlanc had an affair with his Joey co-star Andrea Anders while he was still married to his wife.
Ooh.
At least they got something out of that show. Tori Spelling and Dean McDermott both cheated on their spouses with each other. That was number 7 on the list. Meg Ryan, of course, banging around with Russell Crowe while they were making a movie together behind Dennis Quaid's back.
Yeah,
that was
mistake.
Number 6.
That pretty much killed her career, didn't it, Ralph?
Pretty much. She was no longer America's sweetheart after that. Number 5 on the list, and this was my personal favorite, was Christie Brinkley's husband, Peter Cook.
Oh, yeah.
Who was banging his intern at his architecture office.
She
was
like, that's right.
18 or 19 or something like that. Yeah, it's pretty strong. Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Combs cheating on Kim Porter with Jennifer Lopez.
No way.
Yeah, way.
Did he?
Remember when they were a couple? That seems like a million years ago when Jennifer Lopez and P. Diddy were a couple. Keith Urban, his ex-wife, Amanda Wyatt, claims that she was still involved with him even after he became engaged to Nicole Kidman. So
excellent.
Yeah. Billy Crudup cheated on his pregnant girlfriend, Mary Louise Parker, with Claire Danes. That was strong.
Yep, sure.
And number 1, the most famous of all time, I guess, has to be Jude Law cheating on his fiancée, Sienna Miller, with his kid's nanny.
Yeah.
Who was not nearly a Sienna Miller quality.
That's so hot.
And lastly, Dave Chappelle.
You know, that's a name we haven't heard in a while.
Yeah. Last time we heard about him, he was hanging out in Africa because he couldn't take the pressure of doing his show anymore over there at Comedy Central. Well, he was at the Laugh Factory on Sunday night performing some stand-up. He was on stage. Now, here's the thing. I've seen some people on stage who are very impressive. You know, Springsteen is legendary for doing like 2- and 3-hour rock concerts, sometimes
right.
4 hours. Dave Chappelle was on stage at the Laugh Factory on Sunday night doing comedy for 6 hours and 7 minutes.
What?
No.
No.
They do
6 hours and 7 minutes.
Who would stay that long?
I would if it's funny, but don't they do 10-minute chunks and somebody else is waiting?
Well, I think on Sunday nights it's sort of like a potpourri night. You know, a lot of high-end comics will come by to try out new material and that kind of stuff.
But 6 hours? Who has that much material?
And I don't want to do anything for 6 hours, even
right.
if it feels good. You know, even laughing, I don't want to do for
no,
6 hours
I couldn't
and seven
laugh
minutes.
For 6 hours.
Wow.
Apparently Dane Cook had the previous record. 3 hours and 50 minutes. Can you imagine almost 4 hours of Dane Cook? Oh, just take my life. I would take a beer bottle and shatter it on the table and just plunge it into my neck.
Kind of like him. We have to find somebody. Yeah, you thought the Bruce Willis Halle Berry movie looked good, too. We have to find somebody who was at the Dave Chappelle show and find out what was going on.
That's
for
a great
6 hours on stage.
6 hours?
That's unbelievable, Ralph.
You know that people have to be like, all right, you're funny. Get off.
We got
like begging him to stop. But, yeah, I thought
that's great.
That was insane. And TVGuide.com put a poll up on their website asking the question, who should die next on Lost? Those of you who are still watching, here's how it shook out. Hurley only got 4% of the vote. They want him to stick around.
Sure.
Saeed, 4% also.
Love him.
Jin, only 6% of the vote. People want him to stick around. Locke, 13% of the vote. Then Claire with 15% of the vote. Charlie got 20% of the vote. And Desmond got 35% of the vote. I guess they want to see him go.
Yeah, I'm okay with Desmond going.
And the creators got 50%.
Oh. If that hadn't been my joke, that would have been really weird.
I'm so sorry.
See, the writers got 78% of the vote.
That's better than mine. Sorry.
But,
I apologize.
That's okay. Celebrity birthdays today. Actor James Woods is 60 years old today. So good over there on Shark. Really, really good. Actor Rick Moranis. Where's Rick Moranis been? I haven't seen him in a long time.
That's been a while.
Loved him. Remember, he was the keymaster or the gatekeeper or whatever in Ghostbusters?
Right, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I think he may be... I think the last thing I heard him do was made a country music album, Ralph.
Really?
Well, there you go.
Rick Moranis, yeah.
There you go.
Ralph, were you just about to do an impression of him in Ghostbusters?
I was, yeah.
Like, can I hear that?
Yeah, I'm the keymaster. 54 years old today. Eric Roberts is 51 years old today. Conan O'Brien turns 44. Eric McCormick from Will and Grace is also 44 years old today. Speaking of Philadelphia, Maria Bello. Very talented actress. You see her in History of Violence?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
fantastic.
Yeah. She's 40 today. Melissa Joan Hart, who was Sabrina the Teenage Witch, she's 31. And America Ferrera, Ugly Betty, turns 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hit it, Fergie.
Hit it, Fergie. It's the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. This guy is Fergie that we're talking to? This is the guy who peed himself? That's who we got on the phone?
No, this is Craig Ferguson.
Oh, Craig Ferguson, yes. From the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, 12:35 a.m. on CBS Channel 2 here in good old Southern California. Hey, Craig, welcome back to the Kevin Amin Show.
Hey, it's nice to be here. Did you just say I peed myself?
Yes.
Well, I didn't know that. I'm in the dark right now.
He's on hold. He's waiting. He couldn't put down the phone. He had to go. What are you going to do? Well, Craig, it's great to talk to you again. I think it's hilarious that they got you out on this promotional tour. You're making all the appearances, trying to get people to tune into your show. Yet your show's on rerun this week. I think that's outstanding planning.
Well, you know, that's the CBS model of of publicity. Wait until people are least suspecting it and then ignore them.
Exactly. I didn't realize I saw you on the Letterman show last night, which looks like you always have a great time when you go on there. And you confessed something on that show that was so outrageous. I never even thought of it before. But Craig on the program last night, Kevin, admitted not from this country.
Yeah,
what?
No, well, David had said it before I went out, so I feel like, he had said, he blew my cover, so I had to admit it. Yeah, I'm not originally from Los Angeles.
We
need to cut you loose then.
And it was interesting because, for all the talk, and you hear it too, Craig, about immigration and how hard it is to get into this country, it sounded like you pretty much played by the rules and were able to navigate through the paperwork, and now you're at the point where you're about to be a citizen, right?
If all goes well, I should be a citizen this year. I've gone through it. It's a long process, man. It took me 5 years of having the green card, and then you have to have the application. I still have to sit the test, which is, you have to answer how many Dakotas and how many Carolinas. It's pretty tough, I hear.
But, I mean, when you first came over, I'm really interested in this because people always say that there's a waiting list forever. When you first came over, did you have to apply for paperwork for, a couple years in advance of when you wanted to travel, or did it not work like that?
Well, no, when I came over, I got a visa to work on the Drew Carey show, I think it was. I got a special type of visa where I had to send the INS, press clippings of show business stuff I had done in Scotland, so they would believe I was in show business, which is kind of weird because what they're asking for is someone to be legitimate in show business, which if you know anything about show business, no one is legitimate.
Right, exactly, exactly.
So it was tricky to try and prove that I was legitimate, but I had to go through that and then get the green card and then wait 5 years. And
interesting.
Now, is it fast track if you're A, in show business, or B, a hot chick?
Well, I'm sure it's fast track if you're a hot chick, but it's certainly not fast track if you're in show business.
How are you enjoying the show? Is it what you thought it would be, doing a week night late night talk show?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, some days are better than others. There's occasionally you're talking to a guest and you think, oh, come on, why did you even show up?
Yeah, that's how we feel right now, Craig. Come on.
Exactly. And then other times, you know, I love it. But most of the time, it's great. It's a job that I love, which is rare for me. I mean, usually I get bored very quickly. But it's a different thing every day.
Yeah, that's what we find too. I mean, for us, for instance, all kidding aside, I mean, you know, you're not a guy that we're likely to ever run into, but we're fans of yours, and it's cool to be able to talk to you. And I see, like, this week on the show, you got Quentin Tarantino, who we know how awesome he is, and Laura Prepon, and she's awesome. Yeah. And you just love to be able to talk to those people, even if it's only for a few minutes at a time. It does kind of make the day, every day is a little bit special, I guess.
Well, it helps, and also it kind of like the whole idea of, you know, like Quentin Tarantino talks to you like you know he somehow is interested in what you're saying.
Right, sure.
Important for a minute.
Yeah, it's fake, but it's good.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll take fake anytime. I live in L.A.
I'll tell you what's good about Quentin Tarantino is you can ask one question and go get a snack.
That's true. You just go, hey, Quentin, how's it going? Did you enjoy making this film? And
Boom.
Then you can take a nap.
You're done, yeah. Craig Ferguson is on the line, of course, from The Late Late Show. He is also a noted author. His first book that we talked to him about when it came out in hardcover is now out in paperback called Between the Bridge and the River. And I also heard on Dave last night that you're on the road. You're still squeezing in stand-up when you can.
I love doing stand-up. It's the way to get to see America. You know, you get out there and do stand-up in comedy clubs throughout the country. It's amazing. It really is fun. I like it.
How come half the comedians say they hate it? It's awful. It's the worst thing possible. They're going to stop at the earliest convenience. And then some people seem to like it.
Well, I don't know. It depends on who you are. I think, you know, if you hate it, there are plenty of other employment opportunities available.
I mean,
I like it because it's an uncensored monologue for me. Do you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
When I work on the show, I have to worry about the FCC and the sponsors and all that kind of thing. But when I work in a comedy club, I only have to worry about, you know, some guy with a telephone posting it on YouTube.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly, yeah. We had a story on our show earlier this morning, Craig, about Dave Chappelle working out some stand-up the other night. And he did a six-hour set. Can you imagine anything worse for the performer or the audience than 6 hours of stand-up?
I can't imagine. Yeah, that's awful. That's like tantric sex. I don't know why anyone would want to do that. You know, the people say, oh, we had sex for 8 hours and stuff. I'm like, are you crazy? Let's get it 15 minutes and then get the TV on.
Well, I got to tell you, they sent over some bio stuff I want to ask you about real quickly, Craig. And one is that your childhood nickname was Tubby.
Oh, yeah. I was a husky kid.
That's good. And the other is that you play the harp.
I don't play the harp.
Is that fake? Is that a lie?
I played the harp once on the Drew Carey show.
Okay.
As a joke. And then, you know what? Let me scratch that. Yeah, I play the harp.
Yeah.
Because I did the conservatory in France for a long time. And harp is really my life.
I was going to say, I don't know anyone who today is learning how to play the harp. That seems
it's a very important instrument. And I'll be doing harp at that concert for Earth Day, the Al Gore thing.
Sure.
I'll be playing the harp with the Stone Temple Pilots.
I think my problem with the harp is that it's
top-notch gay.
Right.
Yeah, well,
oh,
there
yeah,
is
yeah, 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 yeah. It's kind of like the thinking man's clarinet.
I don't think those words have ever been said before, Craig. Congratulations. The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, weeknights at 12:30 a.m. on CBS Channel 2. For a foreigner, he's pretty funny. Craig, it's always good to catch up with you on the Kevin DeBean Show. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Bush.
You guys are five.
On the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. By the way, I can tell that we're starting to wear Lisa down.
Well, this has
really?
Been a rough week,
been
I have to tell you.
I don't know why it's been so rough, but it really has.
Well, and you guys have been extra gross.
Yeah, and Lisa rolls her eyes, and she's like, oh, I can't take this anymore.
I sometimes say, can we have 5 minutes without any talk about the stuff?
And the answer to that is?
No.
No.
Not so much, right.
All right.
On the program today, the story of the real-life $50 billion man. He's in Mexico City. We'll tell you all about him. Also, Kevin, you're very excited. Monique, the host of the Flavor of Love Charm School that's on VH1. We're going to have her on the program today. Of course, I've admired her since Moesha, so there's a little something for both of us.
Sure, haven't we all?
And, of course, your tickets for all 3 days and nights of Coachella. We'll give you a chance to win those coming up next hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock.
We've done this topic from time to time. It comes up because it seems like everybody had unrealistic fears when they were kids. You don't quite understand the world, how it works, and the strangest things can worry you, and you can get hooked on something that's ridiculous, but you don't realize it when you're a kid.
And we had Brandon Boyd in from Incubus recently, and he told us a story about not being able to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and why.
I used to be mortified of when I was a little kid of going to the bathroom by myself, so yeah. I used to pay off my little brother to kick it in there with me.
While just hanging with you in the middle of the night?
How fun for him.
No, just anytime. When I was really young, like my parents had there was the Three Little Pigs story, and the drawings in it were really graphic and like kind of freaky.
Right.
So I was like 7 or something like that. They messed me up a little bit. So every time I had to go to the bathroom, I was afraid the big bad wolf was going to come out of the toilet and eat my butt.
Well, that's I've thought of that a lot of times.
That could happen. I mean, come on.
Why I wrote it down, I'm like kind of regretting it. sometimes late at night, I'm afraid he's still going to try and get my butt.
Dude, how many people are afraid of the big bad wolf coming out of the toilet and eating your butt?
Not afraid of
that's
that.
Unique.
Now, snakes, that could happen, right?
I have thought of snakes before.
Snakes crawling out through the sewer. You see that in the movies, and you always go, no way. But then you hear that maybe it could happen.
Well, because you're not exactly – you're in the most vulnerable position you could ever possibly be in if a snake comes out of there. So even though the chances are remote, you know, it's worth an extra
scary.
Look.
Something to worry about. Haven't we heard about alligators coming up from the sewers in New York or
something, too? Oh, don't get me afraid now.
They could definitely eat your butt.
Well, I thought we'd take some phone calls from you guys about what you used to be afraid of when you were a kid. Doesn't have to make sense necessarily, because when you're a kid, you don't get it. But the big bad wolf coming out of the toilet and eating your butt is clearly unique.
Now, I, of course, this is Bean speaking, have no memory of being a child, so I don't have any stories to contribute to this conversation. But a lot of kids are afraid of, like, the boogeyman. I mean, there's some version of the boogeyman, some version of something scary they want to sleep with the light on because they're afraid somebody's going to get them that they can't see, or something that lives in their closet or something like that. I mean, that's pretty common, right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think that's normal. So, or they see, like, a movie that scares them.
Oh, yeah.
And whoever is the bad guy, you know, whether it be Captain Hook or, you know, whatever, whoever the bad guy is, they have dreams about.
Sure.
Right.
Because you're a kid. You don't know. You don't
know monsters under the bed.
Yeah. You don't know they're not real. They're not going to come get you. You don't know that... you know, that they're going to not come up through the toilet and eat your butt.
Maybe they do.
How do you know? So let's take a few phone calls on this topic. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Brad in Mission Viejo. Good morning, Brad.
What's up, fellas? What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Brad.
This is a little strange, I got to be honest, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was mortified for years and years after seeing E.T.
E.T.?
Because he was scary looking?
Well, you know, the cornfield scene. You know, I was a little kid in the theater, and when I saw E.T. screaming and his head came up,
sure,
I was scared to crap out.
E.T. phone home. How long were you afraid of E.T.?
Oh, I probably slept with a hall light on until I was
30?
11, yeah. Still about now.
Can you watch the movie now and enjoy it, or does it still kind of creep you out?
You know what? I haven't seen it since.
Oh, really? How about that? Wow. I think we need to have an intervention here. We need to sit down and make him watch E.T. again.
Yes.
I would fight you tooth and nail.
How about that? Very funny.
Still afraid of it. I love that.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you for the call. We're going to take a quick break. Alex, our assistant producer, Superhorse, says she was scared of Darth Vader. Every time he would come on the screen, she would turn and run from him.
Maybe that's why to this day she hasn't had sex with a black guy.
I don't think he was black, Pete.
Oh, I'm just thinking of... Yeah. How he looked to her probably as a kid, though.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Big black guy.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. We'll take your calls next. Hey, we're talking about childhood fears. We had Brandon Boyd from Incubus in. He told us that he was afraid the big bad wolf was going to eat his butt. He was going to come up through the toilet and eat his butt. So he made his older brother go to the bathroom with him in the middle of the night. Every time when he was a kid. That doesn't seem good, right?
Yeah. No.
So we're talking about childhood fears. They don't have to make sense today, but at the time you were terrified. Why don't we start with Rennie, who's calling us from Huntington Beach, because this is something I got to be honest. Not only have I rarely thought about, I certainly have never thought about somebody being afraid of them. Hey, Rennie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
What were you afraid of?
I was deathly afraid of music boxes.
Music boxes.
Yes, you know the little wind-up ones with the ballerina.
Yeah, of course,
sure. Why?
I think it's because I must have seen it in a scary movie, or they play that little like music box tone in scary movies.
Oh
so
yeah,
it always
freaks
me
true.
Out.
That's
my
true.
My brother used to lock me in a room because he knew I was so afraid of it, and play music box and lock me in this dark room, and I'd just be like cowering in some corner. So to this day, I'm still kind of scared of that.
Oh, brothers are good for that, aren't they? I'm gonna lock you in and make you face it. I love that. Thank you for the call, Rennie. music. But, you know, she's right, though. Scary movies a lot have that kind of music. That does make sense.
And that's why, you know, the little kids in those movies are always so creepy, too, because they shouldn't be, but then they make them creepy.
Frank in Riverside. Good morning. Hello, Frank. Frank says he was scared of blueberries because of Willy Wonka. Blueberries.
Okay.
That's odd.
Yeah. Tom in Irvine. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks. What were your...
It has got to be Bigfoot.
Bigfoot. Is that because you saw a TV show when you were a kid about it, or what?
Yeah, you know how Channel 5 used to have, like Shark Week and this week and that week? They had a Bigfoot week when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
And it scared the hell out of me. You know, like, all the Bigfoots up there throwing big... Are they big feet or Bigfoots?
I don't know. Doesn't matter. Big feet. You know,
they're throwing, like, big logs down at this family, and then they show this little girl and the big hairy arm busts through the window and drags her out.
Now, were you afraid of that? Were you afraid Bigfoot was going to come to your house and pull you out of the window?
Hey, when Orange County used to have orange trees, man, I used to think it was going to come out of the freaking orange trees. I couldn't sleep near the windows. It was creepy as hell.
Until what age, Tom?
Like, now?
This morning?
Turns out,
like the Matterhorn at Disneyland, because that damn Yeti thing is there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Sure, exactly.
Funny. Turns out people aren't getting over their fears. No. Thank you, Tom.
You know, a lot of stuff, you know, if it gets into your imprint when you're a child, it stays there. You can't do anything about it.
All right. Claudia in Arleta. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Hi there. What are you afraid of? Were you afraid of?
I was afraid of men with beards.
Men with beards?
Yeah, my mom would tell me when I would misbehave that the guy with the beard was going to come get me. So every time we'd go out to a store or something and I'd see a guy with a beard, I would start screaming frantically, thinking that he was going to take me away.
So up to and including Santa Claus even as a kid?
No, not Santa. Just, I never really grew up with Santa Claus.
Santa Claus has a good beard, Bean.
but any guy with a beard would scare the crap out of me.
But Claudia, why would your mom tell you that? Why would
really
she just
bad.
Say generically, a guy with a beard's going to come get you?
I have no idea. I'm Hispanic, and I was never afraid of El Cucuy, which is a boogeyman.
Yeah, you should have been afraid of chupacabras.
Yeah, I was afraid of guys with beards.
That's funny.
That is awesome. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
On that, we appreciate it. Hey, Kristen emails, Kevin and Bean, love the topic. I was petrified of fireworks. Not hiding your mom's jacket petrified. I'm talking screaming, scratching, freaking out where my parents had to get up and leave petrified. They couldn't take me any place that had fireworks. Still to this day, I don't go to 4th of July or New Year's celebrations. I worked at Dodger Stadium when they had fireworks nights. I had to go to work in the office, listen to music because I wanted nothing to do with them. They terrify me. Fireworks.
Why? Did she see something? Well, that's funny. I'm just the opposite. I can't get enough of fireworks.
Yeah, we know.
Candace in Hacienda Heights. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hi there. What were you afraid of when you were a kid?
I was afraid of sharks in the swimming pool.
Now, was this after Jaws?
Yeah, it was definitely after Jaws, and I couldn't get in the pool by myself. If I was in the pool by myself, I'd have this, like, terrifying fear that a shark was going to be behind me. It was, like, stalking me. It just freaked me out.
Did your parents ever try to convince you that it's impossible for a shark to be in your pool?
You know what? I tried to convince myself of that. It just didn't work.
You get scared when you hear this?
What?
You get scared when you hear this? No? Damn. All right, thanks for calling.
A lot of people wouldn't go in the ocean after Jaws.
Sure. And a lot of people, I mean, Jaws aside, a lot of people are terrified of the ocean because they don't like being in water that they can't see what's in it.
Yeah.
You know, there could be anything down there.
Let's go to Bernice in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Bernice.
Hey, what's up? Good morning.
Hi there.
Bernice.
Hi.
What were you afraid of?
Leprechauns.
Leprechauns?
Oh. They could be scary. I could see that.
Because of what? A scary movie?
Yeah, leprechauns.
Mm-hmm.
And then, stupid enough, I went to watch the sequel, I think.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So you went to see Leprechaun and then Leprechaun's The Revenge or whatever it was?
I don't know.
Did you hear the news report not too long ago when people were seeing leprechauns in a tree?
Yeah, that freaked me out.
Here's a little bit of that audio. It's awesome.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. All I got to do is look up in a tree. Who else seen the leprechaun? Say yay! Yeah! Yeah!
Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff.
Those people must have been freaking you out.
Thank you, Bernice. Let's try to squeeze in two more real quick. Let's talk to Justin in Azusa talking about childhood fears. This one I just don't get. Hey, Justin, you're in the Kevin DeBean, Sean Kerouac. What were you afraid of?
Yeah, I was afraid of the Joshua Tree album Face from U2.
Oh. The album cover for U2's The Joshua Tree was scary to you.
The Face glasses were, you know, I thought they looked like they were, like, long and skinny and stuff. Also, in the same realm of that was the guy that was in the movie Mask.
Sure.
The one with Cher.
Okay.
Yeah, that guy really scared me, and until this day, I can't hardly be comfortable watching that.
But can you listen to U2?
What was that?
Can you listen to U2 now?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm over that one. But and then a couple of callers ago, you had that one who was scared of the bearded man. Well,
yeah.
I'm scared of the bearded woman. I try to stay far away.
That's a good choice. Thank you, Justin, for the call. And we'll end with Stacy in Montrose. Good morning, Stacy.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Stacy.
You were afraid of what when you were a kid?
I was petrified of Gene Simmons.
Oh, because of the makeup, you mean?
Well, when I was little, I had two older brothers that were much older than I was. So I was like the only kid that was listening to, you know, much older music. Like, they had the double albums back then.
Mm-hmm.
And they had one called Alive. Well,
sure.
The front was kind of faded because my brother listened to it so much. So, like, the music didn't scare me. But then you opened it, and then there was, like, these really gory, creepy, scary pictures of, you know, Gene Simmons, you know, vomiting fire and blood. And I used to run in his room, and I would open it, and I would try to be brave. I was, like, 2 or 3. And I remember opening it and looking at it and just screaming in terror and running out.
Stacy.
Then I got old enough to read, you
Stacy,
know, and
Stacy,
I
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt. Stacy, this is Gene Simmons himself.
Oh, no. Now as an adult, I really like Gene Simmons.
Do you really? I'm glad to hear that. You said that you were scared of me vomiting blood. That's actually not the fluid you should be scared of when it comes to Gene Simmons.
Okay, Gene, that's
no, fine. No.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. 653.
We got tickets for you for Coachella, long ago sold out, for the shows that are happening a week from Friday. You can win them just after 7 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll tell you more coming up. First, though, Ralph, live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
City of brotherly love.
How's it feel to be home, man? You like it?
Yeah, I miss this town.
You still got a lot of family there? I know your parents don't live there, but you got other family there?
Yeah, I got the aunts and uncles and cousins and whatnot. So,
Ralph, tell people the bogus reason that you gave us that you were there, that you were going.
Because I'm starting a brothel?
No.
That wasn't
no?
it.
That wasn't it?
Mm-mm.
No, doing a little event at my college. I'm coming back, an alumni event.
Mm-hmm. And they're celebrating what?
Some alumni who have achieved a certain amount of success post-graduation.
Is it Ralph Day?
You are there to congratulate them? You are there
exactly.
To
yes.
wish them well?
I'm there to find out how they did it. And for some insight.
Right.
How I can actually have a career as well.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Oh, people already complaining about last night's American Idol.
Yes.
No, not just the fact that Sanjaya blew.
Oh, I thought that must be it.
But apparently, Chris Richardson, the Justin Timberlake wannabe, sang his little country song, and then afterwards was criticized by the judges to a certain extent. And then he countered with his prayer for the folks over at Virginia Tech.
What?
Telling them to be strong. My hearts and prayers go out to Virginia Tech. I have a lot of friends over there. Be strong, he said.
He's from
camera.
Virginia, Kevin. That's,
okay.
That's his home state, yeah.
Yeah. And apparently the cameras cut away from him, and a shot of Simon Cowell was on the screen of him rolling his eyes and impatiently tapping his hand on the table.
Nice.
Now, people are saying that Simon Cowell is calloused towards the events of Virginia Tech. However, the Cowell camp is saying in reality what he was reacting to was what he thought was an attempt to deflect the criticism regarding the competition and his performance, and in essence sort of suck up to America's viewers by giving a heartfelt message out to the Virginia Tech people. And Cal felt it was sort of calculated.
Like, oh yeah, I suck? Well, I'm supporting Virginia Tech and wishing them the best, so you can't vote me off. Like that
it's
kind
like
of
a performer saying, hey, our hearts go out to the troops over there in Iraq. Just, you know, it's sort of an obligatory way to get a round of applause and get a certain amount of sympathy from an audience. And I guess Cal, being a little cynical, thought perhaps that's what he was doing. Whether it was heartfelt or not, you know, no one knows. But people are interpreting as if Simon himself has no interest for the disaster there, the massacre.
Interesting. Although Simon, watching the TV report, said
it doesn't get much worse than that.
So.
It's true.
What are you going to do?
And Sanjaya still plus. Speaking of Carrie Underwood and American Idol, you know, she's been complaining for some time that she can't find a boyfriend.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Bitching and moaning. Oh, I'm all alone. I have no love in my life. Well, according to Star Magazine, that's not the case at all.
Uh-oh.
The magazine's reporting that Carrie Underwood is in a serious relationship with Dallas Cowboy quarterback Tony Romo.
Oh.
The two are extremely serious, and the magazine claims they're even making wedding plans.
So she's just trying to cover it up?
Apparently, they're trying to keep it on the down low. That's what the magazine is claiming.
Maybe you've heard this, Ralph, because you follow the NFL so closely, but I didn't know there were any heterosexual players or fans of the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, it could be strictly a beard situation.
Right. It's got to be.
Or people are speculating that Tony Romo has asked Carrie Underwood to teach him how to handle a snap. Or a kick. Apparently, right. She's got some gifts in that area. And so
really?
And he certainly doesn't.
Not to fumble. Oh. Have you, well, you guys don't, especially you, Bean, but I don't know if you've driven past CBS Studios lately off of Fairfax and Beverly there.
Nope.
They are filming the final episodes of Bob Barker's era of The Price is Right.
Oh, right.
Oh,
uh-huh.
Yeah, people come from all over the world for that
They're
show.
Always lined up.
It's always crowded when they film that show. People come from all over the country just to participate, to be in the audience, and hopefully to be on the show. Well, this, because it's the final episodes Bob's hosting, is, I'd say, three times as bad.
Wow.
Lines, blocks and blocks of people camping out, tents, sleeping bags, holding chairs, just waiting, hoping to get into one of Bob's last performances on The Price is Right. Well, people are speculating who's going to take over the show when Bob retires, and apparently the field has been narrowed down to just a few names.
Okay.
We got Mark Steinis from Entertainment Tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
George Hamilton, the perpetually tan, used to be actor.
I can see that.
Well, you don't put a guy in his 70s in that job. If you're going to switch host, put somebody in there who's going to last a while, right?
How about Mario Lopez?
Oh, no.
Former Saved by the Bell star.
Wow. Okay.
Sure.
Todd Newton, who used to do a lot of stuff over at E! I don't know where he is these days.
Oh, I remember him, yeah.
And John O'Hurley.
John O'Hurley.
He can dance.
Is Shut the up. Price right, Elaine?
Yeah.
God, I hope he gets it.
The price is wrong, bitch.
So apparently we should know in a week or so who they're going to pick. So,
speaking of Dancing with the Stars, how did, what's her name? Heather Mills. It's John O'Hurley.
Yes.
Lisa
said
he can dance. How did she not get kicked off when she fell?
She fell at the very, I watched it last night, the very last second. At the end of the dance, she throws her leg up on this guy's shoulder
and
then she
falls on her
ass.
She slips.
Yeah, but it was at the very, it was like literally the last second.
She didn't slip, she toppled. She was trying to perch herself up on her wooden leg, which is
she
stupid.
She fell backwards.
I think she just got, she just had her score deducted by like a point or something like that. I mean, she still had a pretty reasonable score despite that.
Hmm. She toppled.
She did. She was on
her
ass.
Who got, voted off if it wasn't Heather Mills, at least?
Clyde Drexler.
He should have been voted off.
He's horrible.
Terrible.
He got the boot. He was one of those guys like, who was the rapper?
The
Master
rapper
P?
Dude, yeah.
Master P, who doesn't even try.
Yeah, he just shows up and just sort of shuffles his feet around a little bit. And
just lets the girl do all the work?
Pretty much, yeah. I don't know how he stayed as long as he did. But yeah, they were the bottom two. Clyde Drexler and Heather Mills were in the bottom two. And after just an endless hour of television, they tell you who got voted off, and it was Clyde. So.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy Kimmel's got a hunk on there, he does.
That's what
does
I understand.
Does he do it regularly?
Apparently, yeah.
Well, that's bad.
Jimmy.
Right?
Jimmy. ABC just points, and Jimmy has to show up. I think that's how it works. Here's an interesting story. Jada Pinkett Smith is telling the Independent newspaper that she's a mother first. And she said if anything jeopardizes her family or her marriage, she's walking away from her career.
Oh.
Wow, she's going to give all that up? That is bold. You know what? And I think if playing quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles gets in the way of my radio career, forget it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to join the team.
No way.
She'll walk away from what career? Will Smith says he'd walk away. Then it's a story.
He's
her saying I'd walk away is meaningless.
Yeah, that's true.
Was Jada the one? I always get him confused. But was Jada the one in the Matrix movies?
Jada.
She was in Matrix.
She was in the Matrix movies,
yeah,
right?
I mean, that was a big one,
she's
at least one
part of the
big
franchise. Yeah. But you're right. She doesn't exactly have a whole lot going
she
on.
She didn't carry the Matrixes on her shoulder, if that's what you're
asking. Not if we have to debate whether she was in it or not. No.
Most recently, she's been fronting a like goth metal band.
Yes.
Yeah, she's been doing that a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, she would give up the wild success of that band.
She would walk right away from that.
To continue being a mother, which is good for you. Oh, and is Rodney Bingenheimer happy today?
Why?
Daily Variety newspaper announces that they are planning to make a feature film based on the story of The Runaways.
Oh.
70s teenage band, of course. Members Joan Jett, Sherry Curry, Sandy West, Lita Ford. They're doing a biopic of the history of The Runaways.
All right! Is this Godhead or what?
I so have to play Rodney in that movie.
Yes, you do.
Oh,
yes.
I got to get an audition. All right, the Runaways. Girls underage singing. And Velvet Revolver's second album will now be released on July 3rd. Libertad was supposed to come out on May 29th, but it's been pushed back. You'll be hearing the first single, She Builds Quick Machines, next month. We'll hear the first from that band. Their tour, by the way, kicks off here in Los Angeles on May 3rd, and then they're going to spend all of June on the European circuit. So if you want to see them in America, you might want to catch them while they're in L.A.
She Builds Quick Machines.
Machines is the first song.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they've settled on that title? I mean, that's the one they're going with?
They're happy
much?
With
that's,
that?
That's
okay.
The name of the song.
Okay.
And Gavin Rossdale, who we haven't heard from in a while, because he's better known these days as Mr. Gwen Stefani.
Sure.
He is working on his first solo album. Apparently, he is working with Metallica producer Bob Rock, and he's been writing songs for the past year, and he's in the studio now working on his first solo album. So, anybody care?
Yeah, I like Gavin. I'd like to see him do well.
I do, too.
Nice guy.
I think Kingston is going to sing backup, his little son.
Oh, is that right?
He's going to tour with him, play bass or something. Today's celebrity birthdays, America Ferrera. You know her as Ugly Betty. She's 23 years old today. Melissa Joan Hart. Sabrina the Teenage Witch is 31. Maria Bello, beautiful, talented actress from ER and from History of Violence. She's 40 years old today. Eric McCormick from Will and Grace is 44, as is talk show host Conan O'Brien. Eric Roberts, who can currently be seen in Heroes. I wonder if Heroes is coming back. I've been watching NBC, but they haven't really given any heads up on when that show returns.
They've been beating you over the head with it.
Why no promotion? That is weird.
That's right. They got the countdown calendar in the corner of my screen all night long. Rick Moranis from Second City TV, from Ghostbusters, from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. He's 54 years old today. And James Woods, who's really good over there at Shark. If you're not watching Shark on CBS.
That's a good show.
I recommend it highly. It's really good. He's 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have your tickets, 3-day passes for Coachella. As you know, they are sold out. Yeah. And it is 1 week from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You got your Bjork on one night with the Arctic Monkeys and Jesus and Mary Chain, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Arcade Fire. Rage Against the Machine, of course, is Sunday night. And we're gonna get you in by playing a little game.
Fake band, real band, fake band, real band. Pick the real one, I don't think that you can. If you do, you'll strike gold. But if you don't, you're just an a-hole.
All right. Fake band, real band, that's what it is. As you know, there are, it looks like, thousands of bands. Hey, how about that?
Dun, dun.
Coming right back. Dun, dun. Thousands of bands are playing next weekend, it looks like.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's a lot of them that you may not have heard of. So
sure.
What we're going to do is we're going to give you three band titles, three band names, and you just have to tell us which one is real.
Okay.
Two of them are fake.
Okay.
Two right. of them are fake.
And then if you're right, you go into the drawing, and then somebody within 5 minutes or so is going to win tickets to all 3 days of Coachella from the Kevin and Bean Show at the world-famous K-Rock. Why don't we start with Dave in Bell. Hey, Dave, welcome to K-Rock. How are you, man?
Hey, guys, thanks.
Dave is a Marine, right. and he's ready to go. You got two fake bands and one real band. You got to tell us which one is real, Dave.
Let's
all right,
do it.
Listen
I'm
up.
Ready. Let's do it.
All right.
Okay. Is it band number one, Negroplasty? Band number two, Girth Brooks? Or band number three, Benny Benassi? Which is the real band?
Benny Benassi.
Yes, correct. Nicely
How about
done.
That? Congratulations, right. you're in the drawing. Well done.
Hold on. We're going to do a drawing in a couple of minutes. Let's go to Robert in Mar Vista. Good morning, Robert.
Morning, guys. What's up, Lisa?
Hi, Robert.
All right, listen up. Fake band, real band. Is it band number one, Knee Deep in Charlie? Band number two, Sparkle Horse? Or band number three, Veiny Dong?
What was the third one?
Veiny Dong.
Was it?
Which one's the real band?
The real band? Sparkle Horse.
Yes, correct.
Yes, well done.
Nicely done.
Good band, too.
Right,
hang on, you're in the drawing.
Two people are in the drawing. Sarah and Alyssa Viejo. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Sarah, listen up. Is the real band, band number one, Copious Dick, band number two, Spank Rock, or band number three, Fecal Recon?
Band number three.
Fecal Recon.
Sorry.
Incorrect.
There should be a Fecal Recon, but there is not. In fact, Spank Rock is actually playing the Coachella Festival, but unfortunately you don't get to see it.
Thank you for the call. Let's move along to Andrew in Burbank. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All right, listen up. We're looking for the real band of these three. Is the real one band number one, The Good, the Bad, and the Queen? Band number two, The Spermsicles? Or band number three, Vampire's Teabag?
What was the first band again?
The Good, the Bad, and the Queen.
The Good, the Bad, and the Queen.
That's correct. Nicely done.
Good job.
Congratulations. All right. You're in the drawing.
You're in the drawing. Let's go to Robert in Anaheim. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Robert. Hey, what's going on?
You just said good morning, Robert, to me, didn't you?
I did.
All right.
All right, hang on, Kevin and Bean. Here's the bands. Is the real band, band number one, Ballsack Road Rash?
Okay.
Band number two, Suede Dinner Jacket? Or band number three, Tokyo Police Club?
Let's go with band number two.
No, I'm sorry. I wish there were a Suede Dinner Jacket. Actually, Tokyo Police Club is what we were looking for this time. They're the real band playing Coachella. Nice try.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Lupe in Los Angeles. Good morning, Lupe.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lupe.
Welcome
Hi,
to
Lupe.
Fake band, real band.
All right, the real band.
Wait. Let me take a breath. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
You ready now?
Yep.
Okay. Is the real band, band number one, Roki Erickson and the Explosives, band number two, Bukkake Shield, or band number three, Fisted Sister?
Oh, come on.
Number two.
I wish there was a Bukkake Shield.
There is no Bukkake Shield. It is Roki Erickson and the Explosives is going to be playing Coachella. Sorry.
Wouldn't that be awesome if there was a band actually named that? That'd be cool.
I wish there were really a Fisted Sister. That's another band I'm looking forward to. All right, we do have time for, we got time for one more, two more? How can we do here?
Let's do two more. We got Claudia in Woodland Hills. Good morning, Claudia.
Claudia, it's a little more difficult than I thought it would be. So listen closely. Tell us which is the real band playing Coachella. Band number one, Infected Mushroom. Band number two, Clinical Boner. Or band number three, Vaginal Hazmat.
The number one?
Yes, Infected Mushroom. Congratulations. You may be the only person in Southern California who knows that.
All right, you hold on. We're going to go to Al in Riverside. Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Al.
All right, last contestant. Here we go. Is the real band number one, Scabby Sack? Number two, Homely Coeds, or number three, Hot Chip?
Number two.
No. Homely Coeds.
Sorry. Hot Chip is what we were looking for this time. Nice try, though, Al. Thanks for playing the game.
All right, Lisa, you got all the winners there?
I do.
Dave, Robert, Andrew, Claudia.
And the winner is Andrew from Burbank.
We got a winner! Nelly.
Andrew, congratulations.
Thanks, guys, so much.
You got
so
tickets to all 3 days of Coachella, 1 week from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Awesome. Thank you, guys, so much.
And thanks for playing Fake Band, Real Band.
Lisa May, what country immediately springs to mind when I tell you this is where the second richest man in the world lives?
Well, I would think in the U.S.,
you are correct. Mexico City, ladies and gentlemen. Mexico City has the second richest man in the world. I'm going to be completely honest and tell you that I'm sure Lightning has admired this guy for years because he loves the billionaires. I never heard of this guy before this week. But Carlos Slim is his name. So it's Bill Gates at number one. And this guy, who apparently made his fortune in wireless telecommunications, is number two. He's worth $53 billion. Okay.
Whoa.
$53 billion.
That is unbelievable.
In a country where minimum wage is about 50 cents an hour.
It does seem like he could own Mexico. It just seems like he could literally buy everything in Mexico for $53 billion. But we thought, how crazy is this? And what a unique opportunity we have to talk to the man himself on the phone right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Buenos dias, Kevin Amigo. How are you, man?
We're good. How are you?
Oh, I'm rich, baby. Hey, Chico, I'm rich. Hey!
Is that a,
good morning to you, man.
Was that a gun?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, hey, you like that?
Okay.
Woo! Muy rico, baby.
Right, but why
are you not, Chico?
Okay, but why? We like you very much, Mr. Slim, but why are you shooting off a weapon? It seems like that would be dangerous.
Because I can, bitch. Muy rico. Hey, check that. Eh?
Now, there is part of the story that's a little bit troubling is that you were criticizing the philanthropy of Bill Gates and Warren Buffett.
Hey, why you give your money away, you pussy, huh? I work off for the money, you know what I'm saying?
And you said businessmen can do more good by building solid companies than by, quote, going around like Santa donating money.
That's right, man. You know why? They're weak, man. Came up, made my money on the streets. I sell jiggles, you know. I do the donkey show and I'm a little boy.
No.
You know, there's like 7 years old with the mustache. I'm in Rosarito Beach. I'm in Rosarito Beach. I sell chicles. And now I make TV and I make money, baby. Yeah!
It says here, forgive me if I'm wrong, but it says here you have Latin America's largest mobile phone company.
That's right. I'm multimedia, baby.
You have banks. You have internet providers. You have oil industry.
Anything you want.
Retail stores
and
restaurants.
Anything you want. Okay. I'll get you what you want.
All right.
But here's what I don't understand, senor.
I got chicken too, bitch. I got chicken. You want chicken, Chico?
No, thank you.
No. We don't need a chicken. Here's, I think, what Kevin was asking is, why are Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, why are they, to put it in your words, pussies for trying to improve the world by giving money away? I mean, they're using their money to help cure diseases, get clean water to Africa, and they're doing a lot of good with it.
Because, Chico, you want to know what I do with my money?
Right.
Let me see here. Look at this Dodger blanket I got, eh?
You have a Dodger blanket?
It's so warm. I was cold. Now I'm warm.
But how much money
did... It's got Dodgers on it, eh?
Don't they give that away free, sir?
Hey, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, but
I
with
got
50...
a 1983 Nissan Mini truck, huh? I just put a huge mural on it where I'm dressed like an Aztec and there's a waterfall hitting my head and my girlfriend, my highness, next to me and she's got bullets covering her chichis. It's beautiful.
But with $50 billion, you could buy the company that makes the car. You don't just have to buy a beat-up used car. You could do so much more with that money.
Hey, I'm Mexican. I got $50 billion, no credit. You know what I'm saying? Universal City, Nissan, what can I do? Hey, man, you know what I'm saying? I got a floor-to-ceiling stained glass window with the Virgin Mary in a Raider jersey. Hey!
In a Raider jersey. That does sound impressive. Wow.
Yeah.
You sound like you're quite out of breath, sir.
Hey, I'm rich.
Yeah?
I'm fat.
Okay.
Hey, I talk about my hair now. I got the mural on my truck.
Uh-huh.
I bought that bitch lifetime supply of press-on nails, hairspray, and eyebrow pencil.
That doesn't sound like it's putting... That doesn't sound like much of a dent in your wealth.
There's eyebrow pencils all over the house. It's amazing. You want to do an eyebrow? I said, walk over there. Mira, look, an eyebrow pencil right there everywhere. Right here, look at me. Find one. Look at that. Oh, eyebrow pencil in my hand.
Well, you're living the big life, I'll tell you that.
Huge tattoo. Mr. Cartoon come down with a tattoo on me.
Oh, you got a cartoon.
My mom in her baptism dress.
Right.
Holding two guns, doing the L.A. Dodgers sign with her fingers. Her nails are like 3 inches long.
That's a hell of a tattoo.
I pay the Gap Man and Rolls Royce to live in my house and play me doo-wop songs all day.
Is that right?
No, Drew Barton is playing for me.
They live with you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm living the life, Chico. And I tell you what, man. I got a pool in my backyard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I go swimming, you know what I'm saying?
Of course, yeah.
I bought 15 pair of Levi's so I can go swimming every day.
You don't have a swimsuit?
Why don't you wear a swimsuit?
That's what you wear in the pool, right? In the water, you wear Levi's.
Levi's? No.
But no, what you doing?
You're wearing board
Mexican,
shorts. Or...
No. You go in the water, you need the Levi's.
Okay.
All right. Maybe the Dickies.
Producer Lining has lined up a radio colleague of ours. He is the program director of WUVT at... Virginia Tech University. Chris Moore on the line with us right now. Hey, Chris, welcome to K-Rock, man. How are you?
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
You guys are, your station, your college radio station, still on the air today? They're still having you work?
Yes, we are on the air. We're trying to stay on the air. Actually, for the past 48 hours or so, we've been fielding a lot of media calls and talking to various media outlets around the world, just giving them the news as we know it. So,
how many people are still on the campus, or did pretty much everyone leave?
No, everyone is mostly still on campus. All those who are who live on campus, they're hanging around. A lot of people did go home just to see their families or whatever.
But right.
A lot of people are still in town. So
classes are canceled for this week, though, right?
Yes, classes start again next Monday.
Were you there, Chris, yesterday when the president and the governor spoke at that convocation?
I was not at the no.
He was working. He was on the air.
Yeah.
Where were you when shooting took place? Where were
I
you?
Was actually in my apartment.
You were, okay.
On my way to campus and found out that it had gone down. So,
did you get the first email? Apparently after the first shooting, there was an email that was sent out. Did you get that?
Yeah, actually, I left my apartment after I received the first email because it said that classes were still going on and, you know, just be cautious.
Right.
So I assumed the classes were still happening. So I,
Sure.
When.
It's kind of hard for us, Chris, especially being on the other side of the country, to imagine the impact that something like this would have on such a tiny, small town. I mean, the town of Blacksburg is, what, it's like 40, 50,000 people. It's real small,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's pretty much almost entirely students. I mean, there's, there's the town cuts in half basically when school lets out. So
sure, yeah, and I would imagine you've probably seen these events happen at other schools and other workplaces around the country, and you've always thought, as all of us do, that it's not going to happen in my town. Something like that could never.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no way to ever prepare yourself for something like this, is there?
No, there's definitely no way, and especially in such a small town, it's a huge thing. But the good thing about it being in a small town, I think, is that we are such a tight community that we're really sticking together and just helping everyone through it. So.
Yeah, I got to tell you, and part of the reason, Chris, if you're just joining us, Chris Moore is on the line. He's the program director of the Virginia Tech College radio station at the school there. Part of the reason I asked you about that President Bush event yesterday is that I was really impressed with seeing, of course, you expect a lot of emotion. You saw, you know, that on the faces of the people there and the sadness and everything. But there was so much sense of community. I mean, when the crowd broke out spontaneously into that chant, that hokey chant,
yeah,
you really got the impression, as crazy as it sounds, so close to the actual events of the shooting, that was like the first step toward healing by saying, yeah, look, we're down, but we're not out because we're freaking Virginia Tech and we're going to come back from that. That's the vibe I got just from watching it on TV. Is that what you feel there on the campus too?
That's exactly how we are. We're a very tight community. We, you know, we believe in the Hokies. We believe in who we are as Virginia Tech. So that's what's really going to help us through.
I got to tell you, I watched a lot of the news yesterday, and there was a lot of information coming out about this student, 23-year-old Cho Sung-hui. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, I believe so.
He's he was a senior majoring in English, and there was a lot of talk about his writings in his English department. There's a lot of stuff about how dark it was and how people were worried. And the former head of the English department was talking about how she took him on one-on-one. She turned him into the police. They couldn't do anything, though. And there was one story that I heard that was especially troubling, that he wrote a story about a guy with a stepdad, and he was throwing chainsaws at him.
Wow.
And he ended up killing him with a Rice Krispie treat. That was the end of his story.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's just bad journalism. That's what that is.
And the teachers were like, this is bad. This is scary. And they tried to turn him in to, you know, to get help or whatever. But really, no one could do anything.
He wasn't threatening anyone specifically.
Yeah. I mean, what do? You understand a guy might be troubled, but you can't really arrest him.
And he's an adult.
Yeah. He's 23 years old.
Yeah.
What do you do with a guy like that?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing, you know, I mean, if he's writing disturbing stories, I mean, perfectly sane people write disturbing stories.
Right.
Too, so, I mean, it's impossible to tell. And if they obviously confronted the issue, but nothing came of it. So.
They did. Another teacher said that he was in the class. They had everybody stand up and say their name, go around and stand up and say their name. And he just wouldn't speak. And the teacher said, you put a question mark down. And he wouldn't speak.
He wouldn't answer, yeah.
Apparently he played basketball all the time. If somebody said hi to him, he wouldn't speak. He never talked.
Chris, have you spoken with people there at the school who knew this guy?
Actually, no, I have not.
I mean, I read an interview in the New York Times yesterday with his roommate who said, yeah, I lived with a guy for a year. I barely knew him. He almost never said a word to me.
How do you graduate from English without speaking?
Well, all you got to do is write. So,
right. Dude, I graduated in English.
Well,
you know,
that's a whole other question.
And I can't speak. Here's one other question I have for you, and I'm sure you've heard about this, but supposedly he left a note in his dorm, and this is language that is, to me, odd. Like, mm-hmm. It's not the kind of language 23-year-olds use. He said that he was railing against rich kids, debauchery, and, quote, deceitful charlatans.
It's very old English.
Is that like, did you hear that there was the note with that stuff?
I've heard a few details about it.
That sounds odd.
Yeah, well, seems like a pretty odd guy.
Deceitful charlatans, yeah.
Yeah. Chris, I know you got to get back to work. Let me ask you one more thing. And one of the things that must be so frustrating, particularly for you there at the Virginia Tech campus, is you always ask, why? How did something like this happen? I mean, what are people comforting themselves with? Because you can't stop every crazy person. And if you're going to live in an open society and have a college like yours that doesn't have, you know, bars and chains and security guards everywhere, I mean, you're going to be susceptible to something like this. But what is it people are going to use to be able to get past this?
Well, we're just kind of leaning on each other right now. It's we're just doing, everyone's doing their part what they can. I mean, that's what I'm doing this morning. I'm on the air playing music. I'm just kind of playing what I'm feeling right now. So I'm hoping that other people are enjoying it. I've had a few calls from people who said that they're really enjoying the music and it's helping them deal, so.
Well, it's a tough situation, I got to tell you. Thank you very much for taking the time out, Chris. Chris Moore, program director at WUVT at Virginia Tech this morning. Thank you for talking to us.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye.
Ralph's here live from Philadelphia with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph. What's going on in the city of brotherly love?
Oh, not much. It's about 40 degrees and windy as a mofo. How's the weather there?
Oh, you know, sunny and 70.
Harrison Ford and Calista Flockhart have been one of Hollywood's longest-lasting relationships, and now they've gone and screwed it all up. They announced today they are engaged.
Uh-oh. Wow.
What the hell's he thinking?
Wow. I just did a story last week about the top 10 most expensive celebrity divorces of all time, and he was like number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And he's 900 years old.
Yep.
Well, that's the truth. He'll probably die before he gets divorced again, so he's got that going for him. You guys are familiar with Lily Allen, new smash hit pop star out of England?
No. She's terrific.
She is pretty hot, too.
Okay.
She's canceled most of her May-June U.S. tour because she says she's tired.
Well,
screw you. Everybody's tired. Go do your job. She said on her MySpace page that she's been really tired lately, so she's been getting really drunk a lot.
Excellent.
Because she's so nervous about doing bad shows. American Idol star Carrie Underwood vehemently denies the existence of a serious boyfriend in her life, but Star Magazine claims the truth may be to the contrary. They say that she is extremely serious with Dallas Cowgirls quarterback Tony Romo.
Oh,
really?
Apparently the two of them are even making wedding plans, according to the magazine. Yeah, he should marry a celebrity now while he can, before it all falls apart. Anthony Kiedis,
you know,
says
she probably didn't know anything about. So, excuse me, Rhett. She probably didn't know anything about football. So he tells her, "Oh yeah, Cowboys, great team. Seriously, we're very popular and we win a lot of games.
Awesome.
Seriously, because she doesn't watch. What does she know?
I had the snap last season. I nailed it, man. We got the extra point scored. It was awesome. Anthony Kiedis is down on rehab.
Okay.
Despite having lived the rock and roll lifestyle for decades and being a reformed heroin addict himself, he says that rehab is a waste of time. He says it's full of quacks who are trigger happy on diagnosing patients. Yeah, you know, it's funny. You walk in and you're all strung out in heroin and they go, "You're a heroin addict." Hey, doc, why don't you hold off a little bit on the diagnosis before you get to know me better, okay?
But what about not dozens, not hundreds, but thousands of people who have been helped by rehab, Ralph, to beat their addictions?
Coincidence?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anthony says, if you want to get well, you'll find a way. You don't need freaking rehab, man.
Wouldn't that be one way you'd find it?
Just do it on your own. Do it yourself.
Okay.
Go down to Home Depot, pick yourself up a rehab kit, knock it out for half the price. Rumor Willis is a friend to all the big stars in Hollywood.
Okay.
Us Weekly magazine talks about the fact that she is like on the in crowd with all these huge female celebrities. And yet you don't hear much from her. She wants to be an actress, but she has not quite had the career of either her parents, Bruce Willis or Demi Moore. However, she is very close friends with Hayden Panettiere.
Oh, yes.
I'd like to be close friends with her. Okay.
17,
Ralph.
I don't want to be close friends with her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but the way you said it.
Hey, don't read into things, man. You're just like those rehab doctors. Put to judge. Lindsay Lohan is also a close friend of hers. Nicole Richie and Michelle Trachtenberg.
Oh.
That means Rumor's got to have a liver the size of her father's forehead.
That's true.
Speaking of Lindsay Lohan, she's back to her partying ways. According to In Touch magazine, the formerly rehabbed star tried to order sake at a Japanese restaurant over the weekend.
Hey!
The waitress asked her for ID. You have to remember, Lindsay's only 20, so that didn't pan out. So Lindsay just had a friend order at the table and then just drank out of the friend's cup.
Sake is alcohol, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, boy, is it. So I've had some mornings when it really just was driven home to me that sake is so much alcohol. Dave Chappelle was at the Laugh Factory this weekend. Of course, he's been sort of under the radar ever since he dropped out of his Comedy Central show. He was getting $50 million, by the way, to do that show. When he quit and walked away and went to Africa to get his act together.
Get his thing together.
He needed to drop down and get his thing together.
Right.
Well, he showed up at the Laugh Factory Sunday night to perform and started performing and continued performing and kept performing. And 6 hours and 7 minutes later, he got off stage.
Oh, my God.
What's that? That's not comedy.
Who can do 6 hours of stand-up?
Look, unless you're raising money for multiple sclerosis or something and there's some sort of marathon, telethon thing going on, don't do that.
He must have had like 3 or 4 different audiences throughout the night.
I can't imagine anyone sitting through 6 hours of comedy, no matter how good somebody is.
Although he's funny.
He's funny to 6 hours?
Yeah, he needs a show. He barely has a lot of material.
Good point, Lisa.
That's 6 episodes of a show right there.
He just had some place to put that comedy.
Yeah, what a shame.
Apparently, he broke the record, which was set the week previous by Dane Cook, who did a 3-hour-and-50-minute set.
Wow, that's a long time.
What the hell?
That's a certain ring in hell is what that is.
4 hours of Dane Cook?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Yeah, there were no survivors in that show, by the way. CBS has announced the next edition of Survivor will be in China.
Hey. Dude. Well, that's not an island.
They will crawl up inside the former wrestler and see which one.
No.
Oh, well, wait a minute. I'm sorry.
No, the country.
Let me read this again.
Country,
it's the country of China. Yes. That's right, yeah. Survivor 14,
by the way.
Jeez.
Wow. Will be the first time the show has been away from an island setting since they did it in the Amazon jungle in season 6. So it's been a while, but. Lastly, TVGuide.com posted a poll on their website asking fans of the show Lost who should die next on Lost.
Who should die
Hurley next? Got 4% of the vote. Saeed also got 4% of the vote. Jin, also an audience favorite, only got 6% of the vote. Locke, surprisingly, 13% of the people polled said they would like Locke to die. Claire got 15% of the vote. Charlie got 20%. I think he's the odds-on favorite to probably go next. And Desmond, 35% of the vote on who should die next on Lost. And an astounding 93%, though, said the writers should die next on Lost.
Hey, I know it's just me.
Thank you. Philadelphia, you're a great town. This is a comedy town, Philadelphia. God bless you.
What about 100% of Bean wants Sawyer to die? How come he's not even on the list?
Oh, you're just angry because your wife loves him.
Not at all, because he's horrible.
He's one of the only interesting characters on that show.
He is.
Hate him. He does nothing but smirk.
Bean's wife loves him, and that's
why
he's
all nothing to do
upset.
With that. Hated it before she even saw the show.
Sure. Well, you're wrong.
He's great. He's complex. He's got that facade, but he's got a heart underneath. At least there's something going on there. Get rid of Jack. Get rid of Dr. Boring.
Hmm. See, I like Party of Five. I think he's awesome. I like him on the show. But Sawyer's got to go.
Sawyer's not going anywhere, baby.
I know.
The thing is that Sawyer was the guy who stuffed Bean in a locker when he was like 16. Yeah. That's so it.
If Bean could remember his youth, that would have been the kind of guy who beat him up.
He's the reason Bean can't remember his youth.
Trauma to
blocking
the head.
Blocking it out. Yep.
From Sawyer?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Today's celebrity birthday is America Ferrera, Ugly Betty. She's 23 years old today. Melissa Joan Hart. Sabrina the Teenage Witch is now Sabrina the Middle-Aged Witch. She's 31 years old today.
Bell or no bell, guys? I need a ruling on this.
No, not anymore.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't been hitting it all morning. I just want to make sure I wasn't letting anyone down.
No, I think you're good on that.
Maria Bello. From History of Violence, from ER, from The Cooler with William H. Macy.
Yeah.
Very talented actress, does a lot of good work. She's 40 years old today. Eric McCormick from Will and Grace is 44, as is...
What? Oh, sorry.
Can you unring that for me?
I wish.
Kevin, can you mind?
Yeah, hang on 1 second.
All right.
Well,
okay.
There you go.
That's good.
Thank you.
Conan O'Brien's 44 years old today. By the way, have you seen that parody trailer for the fictional TV show about the Conan O'Brien show?
No.
That he aired on his show?
No.
They did a filmed parody of Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Right.
Called Studio 6A on the 6th floor of Rockefeller Center.
Right.
As if Aaron Sorkin was doing a drama about the Conan O'Brien show with Liev Schreiber playing Conan O'Brien. You got to find it on YouTube if you can, or I think it's on the NBC website. It's hysterical.
That sounds funny.
Very, very funny. Eric Roberts is 51 years old today. He's currently, of course, on Heroes. He plays the guy in charge of the secret organization that Horn-Rimmed Glasses works for.
Sure.
Eric Rick Moranis is 54 years old today, and James Woods from the popular TV show Shark turns 60. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So Monique is eating this morning? That's where she is? That's why we don't have her on the phone?
I don't know.
Good guess.
Having a leisurely breakfast?
Dude, she's in charge of charm school. That's not easy.
Well, I was very much looking forward to talking to her, and I'm hoping that we'll get the chance to later on today, because that is maybe the best show ever, except for one that's on tonight that we're excited to tell you about, because you know this is a series that we never miss. It airs on TLC tonight, a new episode at 8 o'clock. Ladies and gentlemen, the next 101 things removed from the human body. Please welcome our pal, the executive producer of the whole damn series, Eric Schatz, back on the Kevin Beach
Show.
Yes. Eric, how are you doing, man?
The items never stop.
That's what I'm saying.
This is awesome. I always like to read your bio because it's all of our favorite shows. You got Man vs. Beast. You got the first annual Miss Dog Beauty pageant. You got Race to the Altar. You got That's Just Wrong. You got The Littlest Groom. Who Gets the Dog? Fire Me, Please. And then you start into your series. That's Gotta Hurt. And then you start into your series of 101 Things Removed from the Body. And then 101 more things removed from the body. And now the next 101 things removed from the body.
And the bio keeps growing.
Are people not learning the message here?
God love them.
Eric?
We got good stuff this year. Just when we think we can't do another one, someone gets a scissors thrown in their arm and get a big old scissors hanging out of their arm. We have good stuff.
Eric, for folks who haven't seen the show, you actually talk to the real people who have some of this stuff stuck in them, right?
Oh, yeah. This show is based in that we actually get a lot of the real video of when it actually happened. So for the scissors, there were a couple kids that were playing in college, and one kid threw a scissors at another kid, and it just really went right into his arm.
Oh.
And the kid is in total shock. I mean, he's looking at his arm like there's giant scissors in it. And they were at a boarding school, and they got in trouble because One kid actually got expelled from the school.
It seems like that's the thing they could pull out, though, in contrast to... Tell me, I have a clip from about a 3.5-feet piece of gate.
Yeah. This is a guy in Texas who drove into a gate. The gate went through the truck, through the car, through him, and impaled him to the back seat.
Now, that doesn't seem like the kind of thing you could get out yourself. Here's a little clip of that.
Once Ron was free, rescuers carefully moved him to the AirMed helicopter with a 3.5-foot piece of gate still through him. The rusty, dirty pipe posed a high threat of infection. So did Ron's torn, bacteria-filled intestines.
Oh, God.
That's such a nice touch.
I love the big voice guy you got doing that.
Torn, bacteria-filled intestines is awesome. And they're playing Coachella, by the way. Right. You know, Eric, this is absolutely true. I've never told you this before. And unfortunately, there was no video of the incident. But my mom, when she was a teenager, probably about 17, 18 years old or something, was thrown from a horse. And she landed on one of those fences that has all the have all the spikes at the top of it. And the exact same thing that you're describing with this gate here, she was completely impaled on top of the fence. And they had to cut the fence out and take her out with the fence and then take it to the emergency room to get her removed.
Eric, you got to get your hands on that video. You've got to get Bean's mom on.
I don't want to see.
Wow. It,
unfortunately, they did not. They didn't have video at the time. I mean, it was a long time ago. But she, they told her she'd never have kids. Yeah, and I'm sure she wishes at this point that was the case.
Yeah, she should have listened. Sorry, Eric. What?
She must still have that X-ray.
You know what? I think back then, I don't think hospitals like handed out X-rays like souvenirs like they do now, unfortunately. But stuff like that does happen all the time. And how do you guys find out about it? I mean, do you have a research department that is just combing the records of hospitals all over the world looking for this stuff?
We do have an amazing source of resources. We go way beyond just doing the Google search. We have relationships with a lot of hospitals and a lot of ER rooms. And all those guys that have been in the ER rooms have all trained. And everyone has a story that they've heard of. And what we do is we authenticate the, because there's a lot of fake stuff that's out on the net.
Right, sure.
People with the, all kinds of gun
making
or
stuff
whatever
up.
Else.
Yeah.
This is the real stuff. They are verified. They come from the doctors, from the hospitals. We do go that 3 or 4 extra steps to make sure that it's real. And, I mean, for when it's a videotape, there's no denying it. We have a woman who gets stuck by a javelin. She's a judge at a javelin event.
Oh, my God.
Part of the judge's job is to remove the javelin and take it out of the field, and I guess the guy that was throwing it didn't exactly see her. He throws it, went right through her foot.
Oh, my God. Did she give him high marks?
What? It was a 6-7. Throw out the high and the low and the Russian judge. He's okay.
Earlier today, our assistant producer, Alex, brought in what looked like an X-ray of a bowling pin up a guy.
I gave to you guys.
Yeah, he sent over an X-ray of a bowling pin inside a human being. Yeah.
No.
He did.
Eric, no.
Is this a female, by the way?
It's a female, and it's very special. It's a bowling pin.
It's kind of a smaller bowling pin. It doesn't look like it's full size, is it?
No, it's like almost from one of those bar games.
Right, a little mini, kind of a little like 6-8-inch tall one.
Bar game gone wrong.
It's a full size little one.
Yeah, and now I haven't seen the X-ray up close like Lisa's got it now. But how do I ask this question? Did it go up the front or up the back?
It went up the front.
Oh my gosh!
Can you imagine the thought that went through her mind as she lost control of it?
And that will be in our home version.
Oh, I can't get that back.
Oh, my God.
I always put one or two things in for broadcast standards, the people that regulate this.
So you can have
so they yell at me and scream at me and leave everything else in.
I like it.
This one went to them, and they flipped out. I mean, it's a beauty.
It is a beauty, and we're going to hang it on our wall in
yes,
place of
are.
Prominence.
Absolutely, yeah. So in other words, you won't see the bowling pin tonight. That'll be on the DVD.
Yeah, the bowling pin's on the extended play.
All right.
That's fantastic.
That's our international version.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Hey, Eric, the last time we had you on, by the way, and I think we were talking about That's Gotta Hurt, we put in a pitch to you to somehow let us be actors in one of your upcoming specials, and I'm never gonna not mention that when we have you on until it happens. I'm telling you, we are ready and available anytime you want us to play one of these guys. If you need a stand-in or a recreation, we're your guys, okay?
But he's
I promise you that we're doing the Body Fantastic is our next one up. another huge one of these extravagant specials of the elasticity and strength of the human body.
Okay, we don't want to be in that one. That one sounds hard.
I'm doing a bowling pin recreation.
Yeah, no, you know what? We're going to sit that one out.
But, I mean, if you ever need a guy to, you know, to be the guy to lay on the railroad track or whatever you need us to do that's safe, that we can do and not require too much acting because we're bad, I'm just telling you, we're making ourselves available to you. That's all I'm saying.
I will make that happen for you.
So laying on a track is safe, you're saying, Bean?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm saying if it was.
Eric All right. Schatz, those are kind of TV. It really is the best. The next 101 Things Removed from the Human Body is on tonight at 8 o'clock on TLC.
God bless you,
to do
Eric.
With the eye care center. Remember that.
Nothing at all, yes.
Exactly.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
It.
All right, guys.
Bye now.
So, Petros Papadakis in the studio with the world-famous co-op this morning.
Petros.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Petros.
We figured you wouldn't be talking to us after tonight when the Clippers are eliminated from the playoff because you'd be too embarrassed. You'd be too ashamed to show your face around here. So we thought we'd get you in one more time just for the good times.
I expect this from Kevin, but not you, Bean. You know, it's not my fault. You know, and don't sit here and start talking about the Lakers and how they're going to the playoffs because they're going to be castrated in the first round by the Phoenix Suns. It's like they're both in a leper colony and the Clippers just have more limbs missing.
That's correct.
And you know what? All your banners and all that stuff, all the great stuff the Lakers have accomplished over the years, being the greatest franchise in the history of basketball, yeah, along with the Celtics, that's what makes them so pathetic now.
Oh, please, because this is as low
nucleus,
as they get.
They will
because
never,
this is as low as they get when this is as high as the Clippers
with this
get.
Nucleus
How
they have,
dare you?
They'll never be back to the pinnacle of the NBA. They got to
no,
clean it
No, they'll make
out.
Some changes, of course.
What makes the Clippers this year so pathetic is that they finally belly up some cash.
You know what?
I
come
on
the organization. Kevin and Bean show, not the juiced up, 5'2", skinny-legged roid monkey show.
Listen. They're notorious for not paying cash out to their players. Finally, they start digging deep into the pockets,
doing
out some money, and look at what happened.
I agree with you, Psycho Mike, that something awful has happened to the Clippers if they do not make the playoffs, and it doesn't look like they're going to. They have to win tonight, and Golden State has to lose. I think Golden State is at Portland tonight. Portland's packed it in. And you're right. I mean, everything the Clippers have done this year has pretty much erased the beauty that was last year and the great momentum that they really created in the city. And now, last year, even though it wasn't, last year looks like a fluke. You know, they started out the season in Russia. Elton Brand played all summer. They could say they're tired, but you know what? We're sitting here. It's April, and these guys just, you know, didn't have it together, didn't play as a team all year, and I'm very disappointed in it.
It is a shame because they do have too good of a team to not make the playoffs.
Well, you got
to too good
Elton
of players,
Brand.
I guess
you
got to
love Elton Brand.
He's great.
Elton Brand is a great player. He's a wonderful role model. He's kind of everything that Kobe isn't. You got to love Elton Brand. That being said, they gave Chris Kaman a big contract. He did not perform this year. I mean, he's really scary looking. He looks like the Yeti. And there's just a lot of other problems with the Clippers that, you know, maybe they're not responding to Dunleavy anymore. Same can be said for the Lakers. I mean, they're not really responding very well to Phil Jackson anymore.
Okay, but here's my problem. My problem is the Lakers come from the greatest franchise in history background.
Yeah.
The Clippers, the cover of Sports Illustrated, the worst franchise in the history. And every year at the beginning of the year, you guys start mouthing off about
how
you and Dave and all of you Clipper fans start mouthing off at the beginning of the season about how much the Lakers suck and how much the Clippers are going to rule and they're going to kick our ass. And F you for that.
Look,
F you.
You chopper into the Staples Center. I am a man of the people.
F you.
A man of the people. And I like to get amongst the people and root for the team that doesn't have the stupid-ass stars. I mean, we got to Kadeem Hardison, you know, Dwayne Wayne. We got the dad from That's So Raven. We got Frankie Muniz and
right.
Billy Crystal.
That's the way you go if you
I
can't go with the good team.
I would much rather be around those people than have to deal, and now I work at the Laker station, but just have to deal with the arrogance that is Laker fans, dudes like you. So F you!
No, wait a minute.
F you!
But
that's a comeback.
But wait a minute. We might be, but
F
we got
you, you effing F.
Okay, wait a minute. But let me just say this about that. We weren't mouthing off as Lakers fans until
you
and freaking Dave start coming in here and you go, this is our year. The Lakers suck. You guys get in our faces and say the Lakers suck. That causes us to defend ourselves.
We had a tough year.
We don't try to put you in your place.
We had a tough year as Clippers. We had a tough year.
Well, then shut your effing mouths at the beginning of that season.
God, I
don't want to hear you at the beginning of next season.
I didn't say anything at the beginning of
next
season.
Not a word next season.
There was such promise.
Why don't you wait until you see how the Clippers perform before you start mouthing off and saying how much the Lakers suck?
We started the season behind the Iron Curtain, and that's what killed us. Russia.
It was Russia?
They
was communist?
Put something in the water. It was the Reds, Dostoevsky. Somebody did something to us, and it's just been, overall, I mean, using the perspective of a sports guy and not a fan that says F you to a radio morning guy.
Back.
Overall, it's been an awful,
yes,
awful season for professional basketball
for both.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah,
I mean, the Lakers should be better. They're supposed to have the best player in the world in
Kobe
Bryant.
Oh, yeah, they don't score in 50 points more than 10 times
or whatever. He's an amazing individual player, but the truth is he's not a great leader, and he doesn't make his teammates around him. He's not made one guy that he plays with better in his career.
But here's what it's like to be a Laker fan. You watch the Lakers, and you go, Kobe, you got to give it up, man. Pass it to one of your teammates. So he does.
Oh, he's in a no-win situation
now. And
they
bang it off the rim.
Because
of
what he's created.
Okay, go ahead and just shoot
then. Because of the environment he's created.
Oh, it's all Kobe's fault.
No, it's not. But he's in a no-win situation now because if he passes it, the other guys don't do stuff. If he takes it on himself, then the other guys just stand there and wait for him to do stuff. It's a very frustrating situation to be a Laker fan. Phil Jackson, you know, he's kind of a laissez-faire guy, sort of a hands-off guy in the games, and you want him to coach more because there's guys that are inexperienced and not really going out there and taking the team on their shoulders, and then Kobe does it, and people get angry. The problem with the Lakers is there had to be somebody, you know, a few years back. Jim Buss, Jerry Buss, Phil Jackson, somebody, Genie, Matt Money Smith, somebody to try and repair this rift between Kobe and Shaq, because if that was the case, these guys would have been in the finals every year for the last. I mean, look at Shaquille O'Neal. Still, I mean, even though he's older and slower.
Yeah, I'm not a Shaquille O'Neal fan.
Well, maybe you're not. Maybe you are, but his presence on a basketball team does great things for everybody, and his teams go to the NBA Finals. I mean, it's just a fact. So, you know, somebody, that's the problem with the Lakers. Something had to be repaired between these two guys a long time ago. The fact that a petty jealousy between two NBA
superstars. I don't know that you could, though.
I don't know
that anyone could.
I don't know.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah, I'm not involved in that.
Here's the last word on that, though. At the beginning of next season, F you and shut your mouth. And then when the Clippers perform, great, fine. I don't care. I like Clippers.
Kevin,
I wish
you
well
have to
for Clippers
we
fans.
Were very excited.
Yeah, no
I
kidding.
Mean, going into this season, I mean, it was the Clippers' year to take control. Control of the city of the CW.
Right, that's what you said over and over.
It?
And yet, they didn't. So, F you.
I'm in love with the Clippers.
And I gotta wear it. And I gotta wear it.
This is Petros.
I'm in love with the Clippers.
It's every man's team. Got a playoff berth. Up the Lakers, too. That's what Sam Cassell's worth.
Right.
See, I love them Clippers. Cause safety shows me love. Ice cream and popcorn free when I hit safety's club.
Yeah.
He don't even
they don't
trip.
Give me nothing free at the Lakers.
Dog might flip. He's Kobe's guy, I must admit. I'm in love with the Clippers.
In your song and in the King of Mexico song, you have to talk about how much the Lakers suck.
Well,
so, F you.
Well, that's the deal, though.
F.
I'm
going to take a recess right now because I'm so mad at both of you guys. I'm about to hold both of you in contempt.
Hey, you nappy-headed hoes. This is Dean calling the Kevin Bean Afro line. You know, I'm often made fun of because I can't do voices. I have the Indian guy, and that is all. But it occurred to me after I got out of the dentist a little while ago that half of my face is numb with Novocaine, and that enables me to debut my new voice character, Petros Papadakis. And it goes a little something like this. Hello there, Kevin of the Blithers. This is Petros Papadakis. I was a captain of the worst football team in Jersey's history. I'm Petros Papadakis. I'm in sex with assistant producer Alex. Okay, then.
What do you think, P?
That's Bean's.
Was that the old sports guy?
That's Bean's impression of.
That was me calling. My face like was Dean, numb, and I sounded just like you.
Oh, I thought it said Dean.
No, Bean.
No,
oh.
It was me.
Oh, my bad. I thought the old sports guy was, like, jealous.
No, that was me calling in last week after going to the
dentist. I've never had sex with Alex.
Yeah, right. Petros, we've all had sex with Alex. Come on, Petros. Petros is here from the great AM 570, kind enough to stop by and talk sports. And this is not exactly a sports-related question, but it kind of applies to you, Petros, because you and our friend Matt Smith do a radio show.
A good show, the best show ever.
Best show on radio, yeah.
In the afternoon.
Sure. all of these shows, it doesn't matter what kind of show is on, feels like, because we're all human beings, we all live in this country, we all are impacted by this horrible tragedy down at Virginia Tech. We all are feeling, you know, emotions about that. And some shows are trying to deal with it. Like Jay Leno, for instance, took a couple minutes out of his monologue the other night to say, look, I just want to acknowledge that this is going on, and we wish you the best.
You guys had that awkward interview with the program director guy.
Yes, we did. Yep.
Exactly.
Well,
David Letterman, I mean, you know, David Letterman, on the other hand, for instance, didn't mention it at all. Just decided, look, I'm doing a comedy show. That's not my place. How did you and Money handle it on your show?
Well, what we did was we just came on the air the day it happened and said on Monday and said, you know, we had a few hours to process it. I mean, we don't come on till 4 o'clock. So we were able to say, look, you know, we understand what's going on. We've seen it. You know, we're not news people. We're sports guys. And we do have a sister station right down the hall that you guys can tune into to get the news. If you want to hear what we do, the sports talk and the wacky stuff, then you can stay with us because we're going to perform our show for the people that want to hear our show. But we're very aware of this. We're doing it with a heavy heart. And if you want the news and all the updated stuff, just, you know, tune in down the hall and they will fill you in and do the whole deal. But it's just a very difficult thing because, you know, I covered Virginia Tech a couple years ago. They played USC. They played USC. They did a game versus USC. And I tell you what, they're a very proud people. I mean, that's a very proud campus and a very strong university and people that really kind of band together. I mean, they have
absolutely.
It's not like going to UCLA or USC. I mean, they really have a sense of community. And you can hear that from the guy you guys had on earlier.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
They will pull through this, but it's just, you know, getting into the logistics of it and, you know, who this guy was or why the campus wasn't shut down. I mean, for a guy like me who's just a lisping sports guy, it's difficult to, you know, try to be credible.
It is
difficult to try to be credible. It's just awful. You know, worst thing that's ever happened.
It does. It puts you in a very tight spot. And that's why it's so curious. For instance, last night on American Idol, I mean, I understand where they're coming from. And I do believe they're coming from a good place, which is, look, I know we're doing a stupid karaoke show. And we're not trying to pretend it's the most important thing in the world that's going on. So we want to acknowledge it. But it just seems so awkward. It seems so difficult to kind of shoehorn in something as serious as what happened at Virginia Tech into their show. I mean, the program opened with Ryan Seacrest starting the show.
Good evening. At this difficult time, we want to say to all those affected by the terrible tragedy.
You guys are laughing because you've never heard Ryan Seacrest attempt to be serious before, right?
It's just, he's just, if somebody's going to pull it off, it's not going to be him.
Yeah, he's the wrong guy.
Not with the dumbass theme behind him.
Yeah,
like, hello.
Yeah.
Listen to this transition. Tell me how awkward this is.
At Virginia Tech, our thoughts and prayers are with you. This is American Idol.
And then and then the music kicks in, and then they do the show. So then
that's not worth it. That's not worth it. I mean,
you would not have even mentioned it then.
Some executive, somebody, you know, made them do that. Yeah. Maybe that had a kid. I was watching Fox News last night, and they're introing a show, and the guy's like, "Our hearts are with you, Okies."
Oh no!
I mean,
it's
Hokies. It's like, dude, you know, if you don't know, just and if you don't want to touch it. Don't touch it because it's not something that you're going to be able to make sense of. And, you know, the other thing is annoying. It's like the same thing with the IMA stuff. Everybody, every group, everybody that has any kind of media platform has got to push their agenda on this. Dr. Phil says it's video games.
Right.
You know, I know a lot of people that play video games. I don't know any of them that go out and kill 30 people. You know, I
Yet.
Mean, there's other people saying all students have to be armed. If everybody was armed like it was the OK Corral, then we would be fine. And, you know, nobody should have guns. I mean, everybody uses this opportunity, you know, of some tragedy to get their face in the media and push their agenda. And that's the depressing part about it.
First of all, it would be the Hoke Corral if it were in Virginia Tech. First of all, let's not forget that. And second of all, Kevin took your advice and tuned into KFI to hear some of the convocation coverage yesterday. Now, that was the big event that they had in the stadium there at Virginia Tech where they had President Bush was out and then the governor of Virginia was there.
You should have stuck with us.
Yeah. Then they had all sorts of various speakers, you know, teachers and things like that getting up in front of the class. And you heard something that struck you.
It was really moving. It was because this is such a terrible thing. And you hear them speaking. You hear people who know these people and they're speaking and they're breaking down crying. And I was driving in my car and get your K-Rock whisper up.
Okay.
Because we're told by management, you know, sometimes if we're playing a world premiere or whatever, you got to make sure people know it's on K-Rock. You got to make sure nobody can steal it. So you put that in the middle. You're like kind of like put that under it so you can kind of protect it.
Oh, you guys play that in Blue Monday, man.
Yeah, we do.
I love that.
But yesterday I was listening to KFI, and a guy came, I guess they changed shifts or whatever, and a guy came in, and you knew that the management told them, make sure and wherever you can squeeze in KFI, make sure.
Well, they want to make sure because that's a broadcast that's going on five radio stations at one time. They want to make sure that people listening know what station they've gone on so they can get ratings credit for it.
But this guy was so... I was driving in my car and I was just thinking, oh my...
What time of the day was it?
It was noon.
Oh, okay.
And I was thinking to myself, I don't really ever feel like I'm part of the radio industry. Like, I would never, you know, defend the radio industry.
Yeah.
But this guy I felt was like making us all look bad because he was obsessed with saying KFI. And it was saddest thing to
hear.
It's
like
these...
the worst timing in the world.
Yes, but he was obsessed with it, over the top. He was like...
We do not understand this tragedy.
KFI.
We know we did nothing to deserve it.
KFI.
But neither does a child in Africa dying of AIDS.
640 KFI.
Neither do the invisible children walking the night away to avoid being captured by a rogue army.
Listen to KFI.
No one deserves a tragedy.
This is KFI. He was driving me crazy. I was yelling, stop doing that!
Oh,
somebody was so over the top.
We will prevail.
KFI.
We will prevail.
AM640.
We will prevail. We are.
KFI.
Virginia Tech.
KFI. And then
somebody
and then somebody did a moment of silence.
Oh no.
And I was driving in my car.
That doesn't work on radio, you know.
Right, but I was yelling out loud, fight it! Don't say KFI. Let the minute go by. It's a minute of silence. It's not going to kill you. Fight it. And as soon as I said fight, he goes, you're listening to KFI. I'm 640. And then there was some more dead air, right, for the minute of silence. Yeah. And then he came back and said,
KFI, AM 640, you're listening to KFI.
And I was yelling at him at the top of my lungs,
fantastic.
Shut up, you douchebag.
You know I work over there, right?
I know, but I just couldn't take it.
It just drove me out of my mind.
I see a ship in the harbor.
I know, dude. We do it too, but it's
kind of, you guys do it
of
with
course.
Class.
Of course.
Well, we're not doing it while they're burying children.
Right.
Okay, that's the difference.
It was
right?
saddest speeches, and yet he was so like
he wasn't even listening.
You could tell he was paranoid that he was going to be fired if he didn't say it.
You know, a lot of the problem is, I mean, in radio and media in general. And God knows, I work with Fred Rogan, and I worked with him for years.
Sure.
I wish somebody would die so we could have something to talk about. Now, I'm not saying Fred, you know, wants tragedy to happen.
Of
but,
course not, yeah.
You know, I mean, when there's a slow news day and somebody dies, I mean, these people mobilize, you know. Oh, my God, we got something to talk about. So when there's a tragedy of this magnitude, I mean, you just see. I mean, Fox News had Greta Van Susteren and her frozen face. Talk about a frozen face,
yeah,
Bean.
I know.
They had Greta. They had Shep. They had Geraldo. I mean, they were there by noon. The thing happened in the morning.
Yeah.
Pow, pow, private jets.
Dude, I saw.
I mean, they're there.
I saw on CNN, somebody was interviewed, and they asked them if they thought the guy who sold the guns to the kid was going to turn his back on that industry and stop selling guns. And I thought, really, we're out now. We're out.
Yeah, right. I saw an interview with that guy. I saw Greta interviewing a dude last night saying, like, well, how do you break it to the families? You know, what do you say, and how do you approach it?
It's like, so brutal.
Come on
there's just
now.
So nothing to say.
Yeah, but people are into it, man. People just, I mean...
Sorry, I got to play that.
They want to be all over it.
I see a ship in the harbor.
It's 8:51. It's Wednesday morning in the Kevin and Bean Show. Please stick around. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up right after this next.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Well, even Shilpa Shetty, the Indian actress who kissed Richard Gere on stage at that AIDS awareness event in New Delhi, India last weekend, is defending Richard Gere. She's upset that her fellow Indians are burning him in effigy. Some are demanding his imprisonment and some his death for kissing her on the cheek and embracing her on stage.
He hugged her and he kissed her on the cheek.
Oh, I saw it.
Oh.
Very provocative.
My God.
That's no way for a man to treat a woman, Ralph. Come on, that's
no,
outrageous.
It's not. Shetty said what he did was very sweet. It was all in good humor. He especially told me to tell the media that he didn't want to hurt any Indian sensibilities. And she said the actors apologized profusely after the kiss, and he's really, really sorry he kissed her.
I think
really.
If you have to guess about the guy, you would say he probably had no ill will whatsoever.
Well, it's not like he went up there and killed a cow.
Right. I mean, yeah. It's just ridiculous.
And he took out a picture of Gandhi and pooped on it.
No, he didn't do
anything. I don't think that happened
thing.
At all, Ralph. Yeah. I saw her press conference, and she said that Richard Gere just is devastated by this. He feels so bad. He keeps calling her over and over and over again to apologize for dragging her into this. And the poor guy, I mean, did nothing wrong, did nothing but show up in their country and try to help them.
I don't care. Just don't go back to India.
The only way to balance out the scales, really, is the next time he sees her, punch her right in the face.
No, I don't think that'll help.
It's the only way.
Hmm.
He kissed her. That's one side of it. Now the other side of the coin is hate and anger. So he's got to like kick her in the nuts. She had him.
So that'll make everyone happy then.
Yep. Okay. It'll all be evened out, and then Vishnu can go back to riding the elephant, okay, or whatever he does. Chris Rock's going to take the DNA test. The papers have been filed. Callie Bowyer is her name. She is a woman who says that she's got a 13-year-old son from a romantic tryst she had with the comedian back in the early 1990s. She's asked Rock for some time to take a DNA test because he's never acknowledged the child as his. But now that the kid has some medical issues and has some mounting medical bills, she is pursuing this more vehemently, and apparently he has agreed he's going to take the test sometime this week, they say.
Was this encounter before he married his wife and started having kids with her?
So, yes.
So he's in the clear on that, at least.
Yeah, so far.
You know, Ralph Garman, this is Gene Simmons. I'd like to say good morning.
Oh, hi, Gene.
I've been needing to take a DNA test for a while now, and Lisa May, I think your face would make a great Petri dish.
Oh, Gene.
Come on.
You know that's not sexy, right?
And it's rare that I have to make a correction a mere hour after I do a story, but Harrison Ford and Calista Flockhart's people are saying they're not engaged.
They're not getting married?
That's what they say.
Devastating.
Wow.
Representatives for Harrison and Calista are denying any reports that the couple's engaged. They are not engaged. Not engaged. It's not true. Not engaged. Not engaged.
What's your feeling on the engagement, Ralph?
They've been married for 2 years.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Apparently, the problem is that little Liam, her little kid, has been running around saying to people, Harrison Ford's going to be my daddy.
Oh.
Okay.
So I guess the moral of the story is don't trust any little children.
If Indy's your dad, though, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, but how many people remember him from Indiana Jones?
Me.
Well, they will when Indy 4 hits screens next year.
River Phoenix going to be in that one?
Not so much.
I don't think so, P. That's some bad news on that.
Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf will be in it.
Bless you.
Yeah. I'm tired of that dude. All of a sudden, he's in every movie.
Tired of
he's
him.
In it because I used
not
to watch
yet.
Even Stevens. That's how.
But he's not
on
been
the
in
Disney
every...
Channel.
He's only been in Disturbia
eight?
Yet.
I like the children's programming.
Oh.
Makes me feel safe.
You and Bean.
You and Bean, yeah.
Of course, Bean uses it as bait.
Chris Hansen, any thoughts?
Who did you think you were going to watch this program with? New York Post is saying that Hulk Hogan and his wife Linda may be headed for a divorce.
Uh-oh.
Apparently the relationship's under a lot of strain. Linda can't take the size of his pythons anymore.
Hey, brother.
I think it's Brooke's musical career is putting the strain on their relationship.
She looks like a dude anyway. I mean, I thought she was a dude when I saw the show. I couldn't tell the difference between the Brooke and the mom and Hulk. They all look the same.
They're all very dude-y. Yeah. And great, great news. Lindsay Lohan's back on the bottle.
Oh, good.
If you believe In Touch magazine. The former rehab attendee, I guess, tried to order sake at a Japanese restaurant, In Touch magazine says. The waitress asked her for ID. Lindsay's only 20, so she couldn't order the booze. However, someone else at Lindsay's table did order it instead, and Lindsay snuck some on the DL. Obviously not DNL enough not to be caught because someone told In Touch magazine.
But. Yeah.
And last night, Clyde the Glide Drexler said goodbye to Dancing with the Stars.
I thought Heather Mills fell on her ass. What does it take?
She toppled.
She got one leg.
What does it take?
Nobody's going to kick a one-legged person off a show.
Well, you have to if she's in it.
It was at the very, very end.
So what?
It matters.
Hey, Clyde's a good guy. I know he couldn't dance for his life, but Clyde was on Pros vs. Joes. He's a great dude.
Is he?
Oh, he's a wonderful
guy. He looks like a robot on that show.
Well, I mean, he's 6'9 or something. I mean, how's he supposed to be able to dance around?
And his partner's like 5'4.
Yeah, Clyde started behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
I don't know why Lisa's defending Heather Mills, but at the end of her routine, she did try to balance herself on the prosthetic leg.
Good advice?
Not good advice. Nope. If you have one good leg and you have a choice of using the good one or the bad one to teeter on, to get your balance on, I'd say use the one that you actually have some muscular control over.
Use the real one.
Use the real one.
That's good advice, I think.
You're already you're deficient to the tune of one already when it comes to the leg department.
Use the one you have.
Use the one you have is what I would say. Don't make things any tougher for yourself. Today's celebrity birthdays: America Ferrera.
I like her. She's sexy.
Oh.
Ring the bell.
No. Let me tell you, I've been ringing the bell all day long,
Wait a minute,
we're getting
ugly Betty.
Yes, and
yes.
she's not
take
ugly.
Take it back. Take it back.
Baby,
no.
the
Hold
fan.
On a second.
Don't take it
back.
Oh, how dare you.
Take it back. What am I supposed to do?
She's in real life, she's very pretty, guys. No. They ugly her up for the show.
Not very pretty.
Did you see the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants?
Yes.
She was hot.
She is pretty enough for a bell, you guys.
Is yeah, it? How did those pants fit her in that movie, by the way?
Because
they were magic pants.
They'd have to be magic.
See,
magic.
You guys are just saying, comparing her to her TV character.
The Levi.
Then she's not bad compared to that.
No, right. she's a pretty girl.
No, she's not.
She's
acceptable when she's not uglied up. She's fine.
She's a great actress. So, Belle or no Belle?
No Belle.
Play the
I
bell.
Say Belle.
Belle.
No Belle.
You can't give Belle to a girl that you might have.
She's on my screensaver. Belle.
You're the one with the.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can't unring a bell. Melissa Joan Hart. She used to be Sabrina the Teenage Witch. She's 31 years old. Today.
No bell.
No Maria bell for you. Bello. Why not? Didn't you see You Drive Me Crazy with Adrian Grenier?
Yeah, was that 20
that
years ago?
Great movie.
Don't remember that.
No bell.
The Donnas were in there. They did a cover of I'm Gonna Keep On Loving You.
P, I fought for you on America. I cannot back you on Melissa Jones, sir.
We move on to Maria Bello.
Yeah.
Bell.
Yes.
Thank you. Eric McCormick from Will and Grace is 44 years old today. As is Conan O'Brien, also celebrates his 44th. Eric Roberts, who can be seen on Heroes, coming back to television next week. He's 51 years old today. Rick Moranis, one of my favorites. Remember Bob and Doug McKenzie, Strange Brew?
Sure.
Hey. Oh,
hey, you're a hoser, eh? 54 years old today. James Woods from Shark turns 60 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I guess, Ralph, all I'm saying is that Kevin seems awfully interested in anal lube. That's my point.
He's obsessed with it.
Look. Our receptionist told us that she found a giant Vat-O Astroglide behind the front desk, hidden. And it seems to me that if you're going to need some kind of sex lube, I don't know, your car, locker... Someplace besides the front desk is a place to hide it.
Right, but what's going on in your life, Kevin, in your personal life that makes you instantly think anal lube? Because I think most people, Ralph, you're the expert here. Most people are using it in the front, right?
Yeah, because when you use condoms, sometimes you get friction that you need to minimize, and usually that's why you use a personal lubricant.
Well,
unless you're Kevin, and then you got a zucchini, and
that's the problem. It doesn't fit anywhere.
And a copy of Blue Boy, and you're going into the restroom.
It's Captain Thunderstick. What am I supposed to do? No, but there was a chick up there, and there was a dude up there. So you got to decide who's probably more likely to have that behind the front desk, and how desperate a need is it to actually have it right there?
Well, who knows?
So we thought we'd play our new game.
Who's been hiding anal lube? Who's been hiding anal lube? Who's been hiding anal lube? Who's been hiding anal lube?
Calling Charleston Security Booth.
Security?
Keep it funky.
Little action in the door. Say, hold on one second. Let me wipe my mouth.
Hey, Charles.
I'm cool now.
Okay. You know we're on the air, right? All right.
Yeah, he's the security guard here at the world-famous K-Rock. Legendarydrummer.tv is his website. He's the man that put the beat in rock and roll, drumming behind Little Richard. Now he works here at K-Rock. And you probably don't know why we're calling, do you, Charles?
Beg pardon?
Do you know why we're calling?
I don't know why you called him, man. What's happening? I know I lost something on Monday. I lost something. I think I dropped in the lobby.
See? No. It's Charles.
If you find what I lost in the lobby, I don't want to have to come in there and slap the funk out of somebody.
Now, are you... So it's your Astroglide?
Yeah.
Really?
No, yeah, it's not.
Who turned it in, man?
Well, I think... What was the story, Kevin? How did they find it if it was hidden somewhere in that furniture in the front lobby of
K-Rock? Our receptionist was going through the cabinets there and
she was
found
cleaning it out.
And she found it. She, of course, assumed it was Psycho Mike's, which is a good assumption.
I've been looking for this thing the last couple of days. I've been using a homemade one. I've been using some Vaseline and mayonnaise.
Okay.
Oh, dear Lord. Charles, why do you lie? Didn't your mommy ever tell you it's not nice to lie?
It's fun to lie.
Charles, it's not yours, is it?
Yeah, man, what happened?
Charles, but seriously.
Man,
come on, tell us the truth.
Don't mess with my stuff now. I paid $5 for that.
$5, okay.
Yeah, man,
all right,
I
Charles.
Need that stuff. Yeah, I need it now.
All right. Easy there, Charles.
If it's really yours, then tell us what brand it is.
I forgot, but I was so... I bought it in a hurry. I can't remember.
Yeah. Okay,
but
Charles.
I know it's mine.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Lost in that lobby is mine.
All right, Charles.
That's
thank
the
you.
Way it is. Okay.
Keep it funky.
All right.
Keep it funky yourself.
See, did you just say keep it funky yourself?
Yeah, that's what Bean said.
Yeah, I was telling Charles to keep it funky.
Oh, keep it funky yourself.
He tells me that every day when I'm leaving. He says, keep it funky. And I say, I don't really know how to do that, but okay.
Who's been hiding anal lube?
But I guess it's a smart policy if anything is found in the lobby for Charles to just say, yeah, it's mine, because he probably ends up with, you know, $20 bills, sure. Case of beer. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that gets left up there or dropped or something. Why not take it all, right?
I see here that Jed is calling. Jed?
106.7 K-Rock, Caracutes. Jed the Fish here.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Jed.
Kirk you.
What's going on, man? What's going on? What are you calling about?
I remember one time I was in a limousine on the way to Live 8 with Debbie Harry, and she showed me that you can use anal lube as lip balm if you're ever in a pinch.
Oh. God, would you want to? Wow. Jed, we're making calls. We're contacting other employees at the radio station. We just talked to Charles. We're trying to find out who left this item behind in the front lobby.
Who's
do you know anything about it?
Anal lube?
Is it yours?
I was on my way to see Gritty Politti at the Forum one time. I believe I was with actress Kathy Bates.
So yes or no?
And we were in a pinch and didn't have...
No,
thank you. That was all of one in a row on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. We are talking about Rage Against the Machine. You hear three-in-a-row songs by them or by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You be caller 20. You will win three-day passes for Coachella. What did I say wrong?
Three-in-a-row songs?
Three-in-a row songs?
Yeah.
You were in a tailspin, but you pulled it out, though. You're fine.
Time for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
And today it's a terrific prize from our friends at Disneyland, a pair of Park Hopper tickets to Disneyland, including an exclusive K-Rock morning experience. You can join K-Rock, that's us, 1 hour prior to Disneyland's park opening on the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction and the soon-to-open all-new Pirates Lair on Tom Sawyer Island. That event is going to take place on June the 30th. It's going to be a big, big summer for the Pirates again, you know. They're doing that world premiere down there. Did one of you guys go to one of those Pirates of the Caribbean world premieres?
Yeah. I've been to the first two.
Like, amazing, right, Ralph?
Oh, it's incredible. They blow it up there on Tom Sawyer Island. They put up a giant screen, and they put bleachers around the other side of the island, and you watch it across the River of the Americas there. It's incredible.
Well, they're doing it again for the third movie, and then they're going to open this new all-new Pirates Lair on Tom Sawyer Island, and you get to see it before the public does.
All right, let's begin with Deanna in Lakewood. Good morning, Deanna. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Well, we went out, me and my friends, on Saturday night after the Grand Prix. And there was this random guy passed out on the street corner with his feet hanging off the curb with no friends around. And there were random people walking up to him and taking pictures with him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's it was just around sad. 9 o'clock, so it was really early still in the night, and he was just passed out, gone.
Yeah. Did you get your picture taken?
No, I actually didn't have a camera with me. I was really upset about it.
She would have been.
So,
all right, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Well, that's not entertaining, is it? Let's go to Katie, speaking of homeless people. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Or niece, or whoever you are. What's going on?
My story is, my boyfriend and I decided we were in the mood, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a spot that we normally go to, and we actually ended up getting flashed by homeless people. And they ended up, I don't know how long they were watching or anything.
Where
like
do
that.
You go?
It's where they usually go, at an
where
alley.
Where is that?
It's actually in Wait. Santa Fe Springs, but it's a secluded area.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about in a car you guys were doing it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were...
You didn't mention that.
I thought we were just behind a dumpster.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, you didn't say that at all.
Now, when you say the homeless people were flashing you...
Yeah, they all had flashlights. There was like three or four of them.
Well, that's not what flashing means,
You're
Katie.
You're the worst storyteller ever.
Flashing is when they show you their genitals.
Okay, my apologies.
So they had flashlights.
Yes, they had flashlights.
Lighting you.
So they were lighting you. All right. Did you finish under the lighting conditions?
No.
Oh, that's too bad. All right, thanks for the call.
Oh, and Kevin, I mean, there was no guy there. My boyfriend wasn't there.
Hey,
I didn't follow that story at all.
Flashing me.
God damn it.
With flashlights. All right, let's go to Cindy in Sylmar, something we can all agree on. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Lisa May.
Hi, Cindy.
Hey. Well, I had came home from a brutal midterm, and I decided to turn on the TV to relax a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And who comes on but your favorite Tyra Banks with absolutely no makeup, looking like a freaking zombie.
And you didn't turn it quickly?
No, I didn't. I decided to watch because she brings this boy on with horrible acne who desperately needs Accutane.
Right.
But before she sends him to a dermatologist, they hold up this huge magnifying glass to his cheek.
Oh.
And with her bare hands, she squeezes his pimples.
Oh, no.
No.
Shoots out.
No.
That's
no.
your girlfriend, Bean.
No.
No.
It was delicious. Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks
really blows. Blows. That does not sound like good programming.
That's not a good story.
Did she start to cry about her horrible skin and how rough she has it because her skin's in such a mess?
Oh, she's gone.
That's the wrong story to tell you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring that one up. That's a bad story to tell. That's not a good story. I'm sorry. That's a bad story. It was funny, but that's not a good one to tell you. I'm sorry about that.
All right.
She had the world's smallest midgets on last week, too.
The world's smallest midgets?
World's smallest midgets, yeah.
That's a category?
I've seen that.
All right.
Yes.
Jen and Whittier, good morning.
Hi, everybody. I read in a magazine that they're going to be making a movie about Debbie Harry from Blondie.
Mm-hmm.
And get
All right.
the runner-up actresses.
The runner-up? You mean the person that didn't get the role but almost did, or what?
No. I guess it's still in the process, but they're thinking about this person to play Debbie Harry.
Who?
And they quoted her as being a troll with crooked teeth.
No.
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst.
Oh.
A troll.
That's about right.
That can't make you happy.
I guess a lot of Debbie Harry's fans are upset.
Yeah, sure.
Because Debbie Harry was hot when she was young.
She was. Very, very pretty, yeah.
Not too sassy to be Debbie Harry.
Yeah. So. Kirsten Dunst, I don't...
Kristen Bell.
Kirsten Dunst couldn't play Dirty Harry.
I don't know. I don't know who should play her. I don't think Kristen Bell works. I don't think she's the right type for Debbie Harry. What do you guys think?
I'd rather see her than Kirsten Dunst, if those are my choices, in a heartbeat.
But, I mean, to be more like Debbie Harry, I think Kirsten Dunst is probably more like Debbie Harry than Kristen Bell is.
No.
You don't think so?
No. Nope.
Let's say good morning to Eddie, who needs a little advice. Good morning, Eddie.
What to do, party people?
Calling from Compton this morning. What can we do for you?
I've got a bit of a dilemma, or I need some advice from you guys.
Okay.
My best friend's sister's been coming on to me.
Sweet.
And she's, she's hot, So.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know what to do because I've had my friend for over, 12 years, Yeah. I don't want to mess up the relationship between me and my buddy,
Uh-huh, yeah.
So I'm just wondering, what would Kevin and Bean do in
Banger.
This situation?
Oh, yeah.
Banger. Well, now, hold on, guys. Hold on a second here, guys.
Banger.
First of all, have you heard of bros before hoes? Are you familiar with the expression? You know where that came from.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Okay,
yeah.
Now, having said that, how hot is she? I mean,
because
that really makes
question.
A difference.
She's pretty hot. I won't say she's not. Well, she's smoking,
But she's coming on to you.
She's coming on to me, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think she has to be hotter than hot, though, to throw over your best friend for. I really do. I mean, unless she's exceptional, unless she's the type of girl that if you're going to regret for the rest of your life you didn't nail her, it's worth losing your best friend over. If it's not, then don't do it.
What? Why are they mutually exclusive? Why is this going to end the relationship, the friendship? I don't understand.
Well, you never know, Some guys...
He might get upset, you mean?
Yeah, I think there's a pretty... I mean, don't you think that would commonly
first,
end
up... you don't tell him.
I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, should he ask the guy,
no!
his best friend?
No guy's going to say, yeah, sleep with my sister.
No.
Well, then that's why it's a bad idea, and that's why it's likely to end the friendship if he does it.
You do it, and you don't tell him.
You know how many friends you're going to have in your life?
Right.
Tons. How many chance that you're going to have to bang hot chicks? Less.
This.
He said best friend, though, and he said for 12 years.
Mm. Well, he's had
That spill. Makes a difference.
Yeah, friendships
years,
run their course. 12 years, that's plenty.
You're not going to be friends in 12 years anyway.
But she's hot, Bean.
Puppy Lake for the friendship.
I said if she's hot enough, I consent. I agree. Let him go for it. If she's not hot enough, if she's not exceptionally hot, then I think he defers to the best friend instead. That's my
If anybody knows anything about friendship, it's Bean.
Exactly. and nailing hot chicks.
giant group of longtime friends that surrounds Bean on a regular basis.
He is
Those
an expert.
Weekly poker games he has, he invites us all to. Forget about it.
It's crazy.
Eddie, good luck with that. Thank you for calling, and please get back to us and let us know how it happens. I want to thank all of our guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including, especially if you didn't hear, Monique from Flavor of Love Girls Charm Score and
VH1.
The stories, just hilarious. Oh, wait, she stiffed us, probably eating. And I want to thank Craig Ferguson for joining us, too, of course. The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. Very funny after Dave on CBS at 12:35 weeknights.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Daniel Wilson. He's written a book that Bean is excited about. It's called Where's My Jetpack?
Okay, now before you guys mock me because you think this is only about the jetpack, he has written an entire book about all the stuff that we heard we were going to have when we were growing up. They said, oh yeah, in the future there's going to be, you know, universal translators, x-ray vision glasses, robot servants. None of that stuff has come to pass. None of it is being used in homes today. And we're going to find out why. He's written the book on it.
Also tomorrow, we're gonna allow one of our off-air arguments to make it onto the air, and that is, can dogs watch TV? It's been rather ugly here. Behind the scenes.
I'll say.
Poor Lisa's just been getting ganged up by everybody. And that's
not in a good way.
Not in a good way, no. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. Can I hear your version of Lisa again, Ralph?
I'll say.
Non-dog owner Ralph, that guy? Okay, go ahead.
Also tomorrow we have the, we're going to talk about proud.
Bad dog owner Lisa.
At least I have evidence.
See what we mean? This is why we have to separate these two. This is why Ralph has to work out of Philadelphia this week until we get this argument settled.
Can't we all just get along?
No.
Proud FM is starting in Canada. It's
the first
openly gay radio station. We'll tell you about that.
Stop.
We have Exhibit on the show tomorrow. He's the host of Pimp My Ride, new season. Girl Who Can Orgasm by Thinking About It.
Wow.
And Coachella 3-day passes all tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Also, she'll be playing some Muse, Foo Fighters, Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, Smashing Pumpkins, and the new one from the Arcade Fire. That's coming up right after this on K-Rock.